जयं शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाल जय शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाल की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की रामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की परम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्यामकुंड राधा गुंडगिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुन माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की ऑल प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमामि शुभदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवाः श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि श्रीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पदयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यत प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परं जन्मार्द्यस्य यदोन्मयादिदरतस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वायुमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकं सत्यं वरं धीमहि धर्मप्रोचितकैतवोत्र वरमो नर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरेश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यनेत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं बलं शुभमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबदभागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिका भुविभावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्त्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैवायनो विरहकादरमज्जुहवा पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अद्याल्पदीपमदितिदीर्षदां नमोऽन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुपणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विशृम्भतां मुरारे मधुरिन्न कनिकाभिकाभिकावी नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणी श्रीमल गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वंदे नंदव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टशा यासां हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्द परमाणवे नमः पीतांबरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालये शमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारिका वेदवेद्यवरं ब्रह्म वासदां पुरतो ममां मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमदिराधियाय नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द So, yesterday, when we started discussing this Bhikshu Gita, we have seen that this Brahmana in Avanti Brahmana, has made an important decision in his life, isn't it? When he went through that situation, that suddenly from his opulent life, what he was capable of having, but he didn't have, he realized that the whole life was a total waste of time. Mainly because, as we seen, he spent his life acquiring wealth. In order to acquire wealth, he had to sacrifice a lot in his life. Lot of energy, time, everything. So, practically, he couldn't live a proper life in this world. This was the reality, one. Number two, in order to acquire wealth, he had to deviate from the path of dharma. No religious principles, all sorts of lying, cheating, things like that has entered into his consciousness, which has destroyed his own life. Number three, because he had a birth as a Brahmana body, it was expected that he would execute spiritual life seriously, which is normally expected from a Brahminical life. Instead, he engaged all his life in making wealth, and therefore he lost a golden opportunity to cultivate bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam. Not only that, because he has engaged himself in activities which are detrimental to spiritual life, after leaving this body, when he goes to the next life, also there is not much of a hope for him. So from various angles, if you look at it, you can see how disappointed he was about his own life. We all have to look at our own life at the end. One day it will come in a natural way. You will start looking at your own life and seeing whether the life was worth living the way we lived in this world. So if we want to avoid that disappointment, at least whatever time and energy we have, if we engage in spiritual life, there will be some satisfaction. Even if we don't go back and back to Godhead, at least there will be some satisfaction while leaving this body, that the time was spent in a worthwhile, the time was spent in a proper way. Because you can see from this lamentation of the Brahmana, he is saying to us that from now on, whatever has happened has happened. I can't do anything about it. It's gone now. The time is gone. But whatever Krishna gives me life now, rest of life in this world, I will utilize this every single day. to cultivate, and the strength what Krishna has offered me in the form of this Vairagyam, what has come to him, Nirvedam. Krishna calls it as Nirvedam here. That Nirvedam, on the strength of that Nirvedam or Vairagyam, I will build up my rest of the life. He took a very serious decision at that moment. Just like what Krishna says, isn't it? Vasayalpiya buddhi egeha kurunandana. Buddhayo avyavasayinam. So that is what has happened. That is the decision what has to happen. He had to wait that long in his life for this to happen. This didn't happen before. But when it happened in the proper way. You could see from that day how much, what a big shift has happened in his life. The moment he realized it, that it was a big mistake what was happening in his life, he says there, that Krishna has given me one more opportunity, he says. He has given me an opportunity before, I didn't use it, I made a mistake. But now another opportunity has been given to me, I'm not going to waste it. I'm not going to waste it. So whatever time I have left in this world, I will engage in spiritual activity. And he made that decision, and he was so firm in that decision, he says, I have examples in the Shastram. Brahmana was not ignorant. He's saying there that in the past people have tatra, in the verse 30th verse, tatra ma anumodiran deva tribhuvane ishwaraha muhurtena brahmalokam gatvangam samasathayal. Tatra ma anumodiran deva tribhuvane ishwaraha muhurtena brahmalokam gatvanga samasathayal. Then he is saying that Tribhuvaneshwara Devaha Tatramam Anumodiran. Let all the Devadas, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, let all of them give me all the support what I need in my effort. This is how he said. He is saying that let everybody else give me the strength to deal with this, to deal with my present decision. Let them give me the support, they say. So, Gatvanga Muhurtena Brahmalogam Samasadhayal. Gatvanga has one Muhurtam, that in a Gatvanga Muhurtena, in a one Muhurtam, Gatvanga has decided to go back to the spiritual world. He came from the heavenly planets back to the earthly planets, engaged in spiritual activities, went in the forest and gone back home back to Godhead. So it is possible. It is possible to that to happen, but of course that doesn't mean that we all could do that. Brahmana is saying it has happened to him, so why shouldn't I do the rest of my life? I come go to the spiritual activity and make the benefit from that. So he says, people will ask the question, you are now 85 years old and it is at this stage you are going to go for the spiritual activity. But let them say what they have to say. At least at 85, I got this thought. But for others, and that I have to do this. But some people, even after 85, it doesn't happen. So what to do? So the thing is that the moment one decides that I need to come escape from this material life, from material misery, that is the point at which he has made the right decision. That it is that he wants to have that. I want to leave this material life once for all and go back to Krishna. And that is a proof that when he makes that decision, it's a proof that he has made the, he has come to the right path. So he says to all the demigods that they should all bless me in my effort. What is the speciality here? That even if you ask the question, you've got only very little time left in this life. And at this stage in life, now what are we going to do in life, he says. He says, don't think like that. And even it is possible, have you not heard about Gatvanga, he says. Gatvanga managed to do that in a very short period of time. Even the day before, he went to the heavenly planets and fought against the enemies. And the next day he got released. He got released from material life once for all. So when he realized that he had only two ghadiga time left, which is one muhurtam, Therefore, within that two khadigas time, he was able to escape. And I'm sure he says, I have got a little bit more time than that. Our Avanti Brahmana says like that. If it is like that, and if I utilize it properly, will I not also get released from here? And at least at this point in time in my life, this good intelligence has come to me. He's feeling happy about that. Although very, very late stage in life. Very late stage in life. But at least at this point in time, my intelligence has started working in the right direction, he says. So you can imagine, remember, same thing happened to Ajamila also, in a different way. It took a long time to come to senses, is it not? Ajamila took a long time. But when he came to his senses, then there was no looking back again. As soon as he realized that I have wasted my life, Ajamila also was a Brahmana. And he had also good training, but in spite of all that, due to prarabdham and due to vasana, he fell. But when he realized at the last minute, before leaving the body, before that, when he came to know that by chanting Krishna's holy name, Krishna will respond. When he got that message, Ajamila did not look back again. He straight away packed up and left for Haridwar. And spent the rest of the time in Haridwar. And where he chanted and Krishna took him back to the spiritual world. Bhagavadam says that, isn't it? So, similarly, there are many, many instances this has happened to people. But they are exceptions. We shouldn't think it will happen to us. That will be the wrong thing to do. We have to work today. When we have got the energy, we have got the time, who knows what will happen at the time of death. No, there is no guarantee about anything, is it not? So that is why it is said that in the Shastram, if you look, different people have different time scale in their spiritual life. There was a Brahmana who was, say, very much attached to sense enjoyment. And he was very good looking as well. Very good looking. And from early life itself, he was attached to sense enjoyment. He couldn't restrict himself. So he used to walk around the loads of women with him all the time. This was his life. One day he came to the temple and he was going to bathe into the temple tank. At that time, a few yards away, there was another devotee who was observing this, that he had come and so many people were along with him. And he was quite old, 90 years old he was, very good health. And still very much enjoying the association of the opposite sex. So when this devotee saw him, he could see the symptoms of death in him, that he will be leaving his body very soon. In them days, people had that capacity. They could see someone and in advance tell him that he is going to leave his body soon. So the way he put it to him, that when he saw him, is it not time to give up all these things yet? He said. And he also told him, there is not much time left anyway, he said. That's all he said. He didn't tell him straight away that you're going to leave your body now. Instead, he said to him that there is not much time left. Immediately, that person got the message. And he says, he wrote a very famous song. And it is a famous verse also. Many, many devotees talk about that. Abdhardena Harim. He is walking back from there to see the deity in the temple. While walking, he is reciting this verse. What is he saying? Abdhardena Harim. Prasannamagarod Autanapada Shishu. Autanapada Shishu. Utanapada's son. Who is that? Dhruva Maharaj. Abdhardena Harim. Prasannamagarod. Autanapada Shishu. What did Dhruva Maharaj do? Dhruva Maharaj pleased Krishna in 6 months' time, isn't it? How much time did he take for him? 6 months. It's in the Bhagavadam. He went to the forest with 6 months of austerities and penances. He pleased Krishna. And Krishna appeared in front of him and gave him everything what Krishna wanted to give it to him and finally took him back to the spiritual world. Saptahe Nanrba Parikshet. Parikshit took only 7 days' time. Is it not? Parikshit needed only 7 days. Parikshit also made a similar mistake, like our Avanti Brahmana has done. Parikshit was busy with administration and the empire, everything. But the moment he got the message, the time is up, he decided, threw the whole thing away and walked out from there and went to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukha Brahmarshi. By Krishna's arrangement, everything happened very well for him. So, Saptahena Nriba Parikshit. So, Parikshit case, it took 7 days. Dhrumaraj's case, it took 6 months. Abalaya Mardhada Pingala. Pingala took one yama. If you see Pingala's life, you will see Pingala, it only took 2.5 hours for him. 3 hours or so. Yamardhada Pingala, half a yamam Pingala has taken. You can see in the 11th canto that Dattatreya Maharshi came that way. Pingala asked Dattatreya Maharshi to stay outside the house to rest. Dattatreya Maharshi thought, what a life she is leading like this. When will some proper understanding of life will enter into her heart? Purely due to Dattatreya Maharshi's mercy or grace, Pingala's heart changed. The impact of Dattatreya on her. And she started thinking, what kind of life am I leading? I got birth in the place, same place as Sita Devi in Mithila. And Sita Devi is the personification of spiritual knowledge, Brahma Vidya. I got a birth in such a place. And what kind of life am I leading? And this thought came to her. And she started thinking, all these people from whom I was expecting happiness, nobody is able to give it to me. And from now on, same like the way our Bhikshu has made the decision, she made the decision, from now on, I will stay with Krishna. I am not going to move away to anything else. And in that process, she slept, says in the Bhagavatam. Sukham Sushwaba Pingala. Pingala slept comfortably. After that, she didn't turn back to this life again. So, Parikshit got in 7 days' time, half a yamam for Pingala and 6 months for Dhrumaraj. Abdhardena harim prasannamagarod autanapada shishum saptahena nruba parikshit abala yamardhada pingala. Then, Ghatuango Ghadiga Dwayena. Ghadiga Dwayena. Two Ghadigas is the time. These are all very small amount of time. Ghatuanga went back to the spiritual world. Ghatuanga went back to the spiritual world in two Ghadigas time. And me, this Brahmana says, Navadi Prayo Bitanavyate. I am 90 years old. He is 90 years old and he is saying this. Navadi prayobidannavyade. Does not matter, he says. Maybe I am 90 years old, so what? Tam karunyam idim prabanna sharanam. That Krishna is karunyam, is mercy. Krishna has got that mercy in him. Karunyam idim prabanna sharanam. I take now on, whatever life I have got, I will pay my obeisances now to Krishna and surrender unto him. Made that decision. Shesha Ayusha Toshaye. Whatever time is left in this world for me, let that be utilized for serving Krishna. This way he took the decision, Brahmana paid his obeisances and left the body. So this has happened in the history many times with many people. But to expect that it will happen to us, it is to be out of place, because that cannot be guaranteed. That is special cases. Therefore, he says here that a 5-year child, he is saying, his argument is, or Avanti Brahmana's argument is, that in 6 months' time, Dhruva has realized the truth. 6 months' time, Dhruva has realized the truth, which means he was 5 years old. Dhruva was 5 years old. He is asking, what's the difference between a 5-year-old child and an 85-year-old man like me? Brahmana was quite old by now. And both of us, our bodies are very weak. We are finished as far as body is concerned. So, in that childhood, in a very weak state in the body, he managed to get released from So health of the body is not a criteria. Normally we think like that, isn't it? When you have a good health and sound health, it can happen. No, his argument is that a 5-year-old child can get released, which means what? That the health is not important issue. Is here. If it is possible for a 5-year child, an 85-year-old man can also get released from this material life. Parikshit has left in 7 days' time, he got released. And Pingala managed to escape, although she was in a female body and she was also a vipicharini, isn't it? She was engaged in prostitution, but she managed to get released in a short period, 3¾ khadiya, it says like that. So if it is like that, navadi prayo vidhan navyathem, so I am not lamenting about it, he says. I am not lamenting about it. So, all these personalities who were given freedom from this material life by the grace of Krishna, Krishna who has given them that freedom to escape from this material life, if I place him today in this present situation, I can also escape from here. That much confidence he had in him. That means at least he had that faith. Even though everything went wrong in life, at the last minute, intelligence came in the right direction to make the right way to go. That is a big thing in life, isn't it? It does not happen so easily. We make mistakes throughout life, and at the end also we make mistakes and go from here. At least the Brahmana is saying to us, okay, everything has gone wrong in my life. I agree, he says. I can't correct it now. It's gone. But what's now on, if I can change that life, at least there is some, and I still have a good hope, he's saying here. And he says, Ghatvanga has done that, and so many others have done that, and is it not possible for me to do that? He's asking that question. Krishna is saying that about that Brahmana. He says here, Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, that 31. Krishna says that he made a decision like this, this Brahmana who is from the Avanti, and with the result was unmuchya hridaya grandhi. See that word? Unmuchya hridaya grandhim shando bhikshu abhun muni. Through vairagyam, what happened to him was shandi had come to him. He has come to shandi state, shandi. The result of shandi was hridaya grandhi has broken. You see that hridaya grandhi Krishna is talking about? What does that hridaya grandhi mean? Hridaya grandhi means that ahankaram or false ego what he had till then is completely smashed. Completely smashed. It all can happen like that. The ahankaram which makes us feel as a jiva, isn't it? That I can do this, I can manage it. Brahmana is recognizing now that it is not in my hands now, anymore. It's not in my hands, he's saying. It is in Krishna's hands. All I can do now is that in this present situation I am helpless. All I can do is to offer my time and energy, what I have left with me, to Krishna. That decision he has taken. This hridaya grandhi, breaking of hridaya grandhi, says in the Bhagavadam, if you remember, vidyate hridaya grandhi chidyande sarvasamshayaha kshiyande chasya karmani drishtvayeva alpani ishvare. So that hridaya grandhi has broken. Hridaya grandhi has broken. That is what has happened for to the Brahmana, he says in this way. So he thought in all these things, and he mentioned this to others also. From today onwards, I have completely switched off. No more vyavaharam, he says. No more vyavaharam in this world. And he became a bhikshu. That's the day he has become a bhikshu. So he says that ityabhipretya manasa avandyo dvijasattamaha
Unmuchya hridaya grandhin shando bhikshurabhu unmuni. Krishna is saying that hridaya grandhi has broken. There is no more hridaya grandhi. Hridaya grandhi is our false ego. That ahangaram inside, that is gone. So he says here that, and because of this decision what he has made. Now you have to remember, he has not changed his clothes. He has not taken a danda. But Krishna is calling him as a sannyasi. So that is Krishna's sannyasam. He has not taken, changed the clothes. He is saying what clothes he has got. He has not taken a danda. But from that day, he has become a sannyasi. He has become a sannyasi because why? Because of his extreme detachment, vairagyam in this world. And therefore, his hridaya grandhi has completely broken down. That hridaya grandhi has completely broken down. And Krishna says, because that hridaya grandhi is also called ajnana grandhi. Ajnana grandhi means, as much as we have that, how depending on how powerful that hridaya grandhi is, to that extent our ignorance is strong. Deeper ignorance inside. The stronger that hridaya grandhi is, the deeper is the ignorance. That is the way it is. So those who have very strong ego, and for them that hridaya grandhi will be very strong. A lot of faith in their own capacity and ability and things like that. So Krishna is saying here, from that day onwards, shando bhikshu abhun muni. See what Krishna says about him. He has become a bhikshu. Bhikshu means sannyasi. Muni. Muni means one who is thoughtful. Very, very thoughtful. He says, shandi. He has become shandi. He has got shandi. He has become a bhikshu. He has become a muni. Everything. All qualities referring to sannyasam. Shandi, maunam, bhikshu. All are referring to sannyasam. All of them has come to him. Naturally it has come to him. From this you can understand that the sannyasam what Krishna is talking about has to happen to you. Sannyasam is not that you take sannyasam. This is normally people use that statement. Oh, he has taken sannyas. What has he taken? He has taken a danda in the hand, that's all. Nothing more than that. Real sannyasam is this, that when Krishna's sannyasam is, when the shandi, bhikshu, muni, maunam, when it comes to a person in a natural way, like the way it has happened to him, that is sannyasam. As far as Krishna is concerned. That means that is the point, his ajnana grandhi, that ignorance inside is completely smashed. Whole ajnanam has gone away, and so, because as long as that ignorance is inside, avidya, ajnanam inside in a person, he will remain in this world as a materialist and a bhogi who enjoys senses and who remains in the material concept of life. But as soon as that ignorance has gone away, destroyed inside, ajnana grandhi, the gland of ignorance has broken down, and the vairagyam has come inside in a genuine way, a proper vairagyam has come to him, and due to that sannyasam, bhikshu, he has felt shandi inside. He felt shandi inside. And all his distress has left him. No more distress in life. And from that day onwards, he has become the sannyasi. And he decided to follow that dharmam of a sannyasi by begging from the public for the food, only for the food, but begging from the public and living on that. That is a firm decision he has taken. That is what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying he became a sannyasi that day.
Sachacharamahimetam samyadalpendriya nilaha bhikshartham nagare graman asango alakshido avishad. Sachacharamahimetam samyadalpendriya nilaha bhikshartham nagare graman asango alakshido avishad. Sa samyadalpendriya nila etam mahim chachara. He is saying here, he was in such a good control of the mind, his senses and his life prana in the body, life air. He was able to control so well and he wandered around in this world, in that state. Asanga alakshidaha san nagaragraman avishad. The way he travelled was that asanga, no connection with anything in this world. He was very careful not to feel any connection with the world.
You can see this in all the great personalities. You saw this in Jatabharata, didn't you? It doesn't want anything to do with the world anymore. Finished with this world. The Vyavaharam is over. World is only for Vyavaharam, nothing else. Once your Vyavaharam is finished, then you don't need any connection with the world, is it not? So he decided, Jatabharata decided that I have no more Vyavaharam, no more, nothing to do with the world. Same thing you see in Dattatreya also. When they made the decision, that's it. And similarly, our Avanti Brahmana also saying here that Bhikshartham Nagara Gramam, for the sake of only Bhiksha, for the sake of food alone, he will go to the towns and cities, villages, Nagara Gramam, Asango Alakshido Avishad. No Sangam anywhere with anybody, no contact with anyone, no attachment to anybody. No Sango, Asangam. Asangam is important for him because sannyasi he is. Alakshidoha, no lakshyam also, no particular goal, go here or there or anything. Because he is always stayed in that Brahmanishta, always fixed in his state of consciousness. And alakshido avishad, without any goal or direction, he was wandering around in this world for the rest of the time in his life, what was left for him. And
tavai pravayasam bhikshu avadodam asanjanaha drishtva paryabhavan badra bahvibi paribhujibi. Asanjana pravayasam avadudam tam bhikshum bahvibi paribhujibi.
Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, when this happened, when he has become a sannyasi like that, the evil-minded people, they became inimical to him. It was not their fault, those who became inimical. He had still prarabdham to finish. So that prarabdham, even after taking sannyasam, prarabdham had not left. It's still chasing him. Because the way prarabdham works is, so long as you have a material body, it means prarabdham is there. It is not finished. Till the body drops away, prarabdham is not over. That's what it means. Even after taking the sannyasam, prarabdham chased him. And that prarabdham had come in the form of these evil people who came to him at that time. He says that, and they started insulting him. They started insulting him. Imagine his state of body now. He has no proper food. He begs for the food. If he gets something, he will eat. But even that was getting difficult. No proper clothing, no proper place to live, and he's wandering around in this world. So, from the next seven verses, how this world treated him, Krishna is saying, in the next seven verses. Krishna is making us understand that you are going after this world, thinking that this world will be with you. But this is what the world will offer to you, a good warning to everybody. If you go thinking that this world is there, and the world is everything, because that's how much we are absorbed in the world, Krishna is saying to us, open your eyes and look at this. Avanti Brahmana, because he lived a life like that, and he upset the Panchamahayajna Devadas, the deities of the Panchamahayajnam. They turned against him, and the whole world turned against him. That's what has happened. So that's what Krishna is saying here, that Kejil Truvenam Jagruhu Ege Patram Kamandalum Pidam Chege Achasutram Cha Kantham Chirani Kechana. Kejil Truvenam Jagruhu Ege Patram Kamandalum Pidam Chege Achasutram Cha Kantham Chirani Kechana. Kejil Truvenam Ege Patram Kamandalum Ege Pidam Abare Akshasutram Cha Kechena Kantham Chirani Cha Jagruhu. Some people came up to him. These were a bunch of cowherd boys who were tending the cows. They saw this old man in this state. They were looking for trouble. They wanted to make some trouble. They got someone, caught him, he happened to be there. That is his prarabdham. And they utilized that opportunity to take advantage of that. They knew that he can't do anything, old man, and world is not interested in him. So they says to him, somebody came up to him and they took the danda from him. One boy took the danda from him. Another one took his begging bowl. He had a bowl with him to ask him for the food. Somebody took that away from him. Somebody took his kamandalu, water pot, from him. And somebody took away where he was sitting. He had a small stool or something like that. Somebody took that away from him. Somebody took his chanting beads. He was chanting and he had some beads with him, took that away and took his clothes away. So, these evil persons, they started giving trouble him. And when they started taking things away from him, they were saying to him, "You old man, why do you need this? What do you need this for?" Saying that they were taking it away from him. You see that word, kantham? Kantham means the old babajis and sannyasis, when they wander around in the country, they make a bag with a cloth. It's not a proper bag, but they tie it down and put it on their shoulder. And they will go begging with that. That's called, what they call it as kantham. Kantham is that. And Trivenum is the Tridandi. And one other person took the kamandalu, water pot, everything. So, two kinds of sannyasam exist, Egadandi and Tridandi. Egadandi and Tridandi. And this Egadandam, Tridandam, sannyasam, Egadandam means that you join everything together in one dandam and say that I have got a control over mind, but as a memory of that, this Egadandam sannyasi is based on that. That means his mind is completely in control. As an indication of that, he had this danda with him. He took a danda afterwards. Tridandi is the one who controls his words, his actions and his thoughts. All the three are under control. That means he has control all the three. The difference between Egadandam and Tridandam, we must know. Egadanda sannyasam is, he has got a complete control on the mind. That's why it is Egadandam. Tridandam is his words, his thoughts and his actions. All three are under control. His words, his thoughts and his actions. Two different sampradayam, that's all it is. Practically both referring to the same principle, that everything, mind should be under control. That is the principle. So these two dandi sannyasis exist. And our Bhikshu Avanti Brahmana has taken the Tridandi Sannyasam. He has taken the Tridandi Sannyasam. And he says here that Pradaya Japunastani Darshidanyada Durmuni Annamcha Baikshasam Bannam Bunjanasya Sarittadeim Mutrayandija Papishtaha Shtivandyasya Jamurdhani Yadavajam Vajayandi Tadayandi Navakti Ched. So, when Brahmana had gone for begging for food, some people have given him some food. He has put that food in his begging bowl and he wanted to eat that. This was happening near a river bank. And he wanted to wash his hands and legs before taking his food. So what they did, this cowherd boys or whoever has given this trouble to him, they came up to him and started passing urine into that food and started spitting on his head. And they were trying to intimidate him to react. They wanted him to, that's what they wanted basically, to give as much trouble as possible so that he will react to that. So you will react to that. You can know how they are, isn't it? It's like that all the time. when somebody wants to deliberately wind you up and agitate your mind so that you will react, that's what they want. Because once you react, then that becomes the next reason for them to act. So they know that very well and they wanted to upset and agitate his mind. Knowing very well, he says here that they are asking him, why do you need all these things? This water pot, this danda and things like that. And they'll take everything and run away. After a while they'll come back and give one to him. Somebody will give danda to him. Somebody will give water pot to him. And give a lot of trouble. When he asks for his things back, they will tell him that you get your danda back, then I'll give you the water pot, he will say. They were teasing him basically. They were getting some fun out of it, whatever it is. That's the way they are. So they were doing this to him, and if he had whatever food he had, he could not eat that anymore because they have spoiled it. And they spat at him, and some of them even threw stones at him. Whichever way possible, they tried their best to agitate him. But he kept quiet. He didn't say one word. Krishna is saying, this is spiritual life. Krishna is saying this. When he didn't react, that titiksha, that tolerance what he showed at that point, Krishna is saying, this is spiritual life. Krishna is not impressed by all the rounds we chant. Krishna is impressed by this. When somebody exhibits that amount of tolerance in life, that pleases Krishna. I mentioned before this, what pleases Krishna, nobody knows in this world. It's a very difficult thing to say what pleases Krishna. If you look into Krishna Karnamritam book, at the end of Karnamritam, Villumangalam offering Krishna Karnamritam to Krishna, saying to him that I have written these 300 verses about you. I am offering this to you, but I have to say some things before I offer this to you, he says. The last words, if you look, can't remember the words, he says like this. What pleases you, nobody knows. Nobody knows what pleases you. Ajamila has pleased you by chanting the holy name, that we know. And Vidura's wife offered the banana skin, you accepted that. Obviously, naturally you were happy, that's why you accepted that. Is it not? Remember when you went to visit Vidura's home, when you went to visit Vidura's house, Vidura's wife, she was offering the banana skin, peeling the bananas off and offering the skin to Krishna. In the ecstasy, she was doing that, not realizing that she was offering the skin to Krishna. You will see that photograph in some old calendars. It's there in the Mahabharata, in this incident. So Vidura's wife offered banana skin, you have accepted that. You have accepted that. Vipravatnis, the wives of the Brahmanas, they brought a whole feast and you accepted that, did they not? Remember in the Bhagavatam that incident, Yajnavatni. They brought a whole feast and they have offered it, and Krishna and Balaram happily accepted everything. You have accepted that. Then, when the cowherd boys, Nanda Maharaj and all others, when they offered to Govardhanam on a Govardhana Puja day, they offered a big feast, isn't it? And Krishna said that when you're doing, making the offering to Govardhanam, all these things should be there, he said. And Krishna took the form of Govardhanam and accepted everything what was offered. Is it not? And Kunti Devi, while Krishna visited Kunti Devi, whatever Kunti Devi offered, Krishna has accepted that. Krishna has accepted that. So, in the Bhagavatam, Krishna says, I was very impressed and pleased with Prachetas. By seeing their unity, I was impressed. And therefore, Krishna says, I have accepted your bhakti. Krishna says to Prachetas in the Bhagavatam. To Ajamila, he said that I am pleased with your holy names, what you have chanted, by chanting the holy name. Whichever way you look at it, Villamangalam says to Krishna, what will please you, nobody knows about it. Villamangalam says this, what pleases you, nobody knows about it. So please accept my Karnamritam in the same way. In the same way, please accept my Karnamritam also. Like this he offers. So similarly, you can see here also that the Brahmana knows very well that this Vairagyam that had come to him was so intense that he didn't get agitated. This is the strength of that Vairagya. Now you can see one thing. Even if you have heard spiritual life, spiritual knowledge, everything, if you want that knowledge to remain strong inside, Vairagyam is necessary. And this indicates to us that because of the Vairagyam only, that self-realization has worked for him. Vairagyam and Jnanam goes together. Vairagyam and Jnanam goes together. Without Vairagyam, if you study Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everything, that Jnanam will not come of use at the time when you need it. That's the way it is. And in Bhikshu's case, you can see, even though he has not devoted a lot of time for Shastram, he had the basic understanding of the Shastram. Being a Brahmana, he had studied naturally. And that knowledge has come to his help when he wanted it because of the Vairagyam he had, because of his intense Vairagyam. All these things you can observe in this Bhikshu Gita. So many interesting things you will find in the Bhikshu Gita. That is why he says to him, he did not react in spite of the fact that so much provocations from the these boys who were trying to agitate him and give him all sorts of problems, he wouldn't react. Imagine that strength inside, that he was able to remain calm in spite of so much provocations from outside. What all have they done? Mutrayandi japapishta shtivandyasya jamurdhani yatavajam vajayandi tadayandi na vakti chel. He says that they mutrayandi japapishta, they passed urine in his food, and this shtivandyasya jamurdhani, they spat on his head. Yatavajam vajayanti tadayandi na vakti chel. They wanted him to speak something so that they can get on to his case again. But he won't speak. And because he was not saying anything, they started beating him up. They started beating him up. Krishna is saying this, so we have to understand that these things can happen.
Tarjayandyamare vabhi stenoyamidi vadina badhanandi rajvatam kejal badhyadam badhyadam iti. Krishna is saying that some of them were saying he is a big thief, our Avanti Brahmana. He is a big thief. Badhyadam badhyadam iti vadina rajva badhanandi. You should tie him down with a rope. You see how the prarabdham comes back? When obviously, some people knew him, that when he was having the wealth, he didn't treat anyone properly, didn't give anything to anybody. So when the whole thing turned opposite now, and these boys were giving him this sort of trouble, he is saying that, look at the power of prarabdham. That is what is important here. He says that in spite of all the things what has happened, he tolerated everything. He tolerated everything. And that tidiksha was such that he wouldn't speak one word towards them and never thought anything of doing to them, a revenge or anything. No revengeful thought occurred into his mind.
Kshipandyeye avajananda esha dharmadvaja shataha Shinavita Mimam Vrati Agrahit Sujanon Jidaham. They are saying that this person, he is dressed up like a sannyasi. He is not a sannyasi. They are saying to him, you are not a sannyasi, he says. You have taken up this dress to cheat others, haven't you? How will you feel if somebody tells you that? They're saying to him that you have taken this dress to cheat others. That's all purpose behind it. And not only that, you have lost all your money, haven't you? And when you have lost all your money, and when all your people have left you, you have taken up this dress now to cheat others, haven't you? Like this, they were speaking to him in a very, very agitating way. In such a way they have spoken to him. So, you have found out a new technique now. After you have failed in everything else, Now you have taken to this dress, haven't you, to cheat others, he says. And there is some plan behind it, he says. You have some master plan, again to cheat others. Because that's all what you have done throughout life, cheating, cheating, cheating. And now that master plan is different, he says. They're saying to him that now that you have lost all the money and all your people have left you, you have found a new dress now. Like that people do in this world, isn't it? You in one dress, in one way you live in the, act in this world. And then when you see that your whole business and everything has collapsed, you start a new business in a new name. And with a new presentation to the world. People change all sorts of things people do in this world to maintain themselves. So that's what he has done. They are saying to him that you have only taken this dress to cheat the world. They were very 100% convinced on that, because that's what they know about him. All what he has done in the past was lying, cheating and making money. That they knew about him. So this must be a new business he is starting now to make money. He says, and again they gave trouble to him. Aho esha mahasaro dridiman giriradiva maunena sadhayatyartyam bhagaval dridanishchaya. Bhagaval dridanishchaya. He says here that even though they have done all these kind of things to him, he never spoke one word to them. And he was not doing anything to him at that time. Those who were doing this to him, they got angry with him because he was not responding. In spite of the fact that they gave a lot of trouble to him, he was not reacting to it, situation. So they got upset, those who were giving trouble to him. And they tried very hard to make him speak something, but he was not speaking one word. So at that time they lost it. Those boys, they failed and they left. They left the place. So you can see here that Krishna says that this person is very strong, he says. The boys are saying, who done this to him. His tolerance level is very high and he is very firm. But he is at this line, Bhagaval Dhradanishchaya. Bhagaval Dhradanishchaya means that he can get things done being silent. There are some people like that. They won't say anything, wouldn't they? And again, things will happen. So they were saying about him, Bhagaval Dhradanishchaya. He is determined to get his way done by being silent in the same way. Ittege vihasandhyenam ege durvadayanticha tam babandhur niriru duryadha kridanagam dvijam. And some people have spoke about him in a critical way and made all sorts of fun about him, and others passed air on his body. Ege kridanakam yatha tathatam dvijam babandu niriruddhascha. Some others, they tied him down and locked him up. Tied him down in a place and left him like that. Evam sa bhaudiyam dukkham devigam dehigam chayal boktavyam alpano dishtam praptam praptam abhudyada. He says here, we have three kinds of distress, isn't it? Adi alpigam, adi bhaudiyam, adi devigam. So this person, he decided, if any distress comes to me, either adhyalpikam, adibhaudikam or adidevikam, whatever it may be, I will take it as it my prarabdham. He says, bhoktavya alpano dishtam, praptam praptam abhudyadam. Therefore, I cannot have any hate or revenge towards anyone else, says Bhikshu. Bhikshu says like that. And then he says, paribhuda imam ghadha agayata naradhamai padayalbi sudharmasto dridhim astaya satvikim. But that is the last verse Krishna says about that Brahmana. Krishna saying, paribhuda imam ghadha agayatha naradhamai. Even though he was put into all sorts of distress by those who came and did all these things to him,
பாதயத்ரி சுதர்மஸ்தோ த்ருதி மாஸ்தாய சாத்விகிம்.
He had, because of the vairagyam inside, he had sattvagunam in him. And because of sattvagunam was there, that is what Krishna is saying here, dhridhi astaya sattvagim. His intelligence was in sattvagunam. That means no agitations inside. In total shanti, peace inside.
Padayadbi sodharmastho.
He decided to stick to his dharma. Decided to stick to his dharma.
And dhridhi astaya sattvagim. And then he sang this song.
Krishna is saying, he song, sang a famous song, which is called Bhikshu Gita.
So, when they got upset and they ran away from there,
just like for children, when they catch a bird or something to play with, they'll put the bird in a cage and play with the bird, is it not?
Similarly, they try to do everything with him physically and material way, whichever way possible, they gave all sorts of trouble.
And when all these things were happening, he was thinking, or Bhikshu was thinking, my prarabdham must be there. Otherwise, why this situation has happened to me? And therefore, no one else is responsible for this. He is saying here.
And with that in his mind, that when people were giving him this trouble, he would not speak one word to them.
What we have to recognize here is that level of tolerance in him, tidiksha, isn't it? You know that definition of tidiksha. Definition of tidiksha is like that.
Chinda vilaparahidam sa tidiksha iti gadhyade.
Apratigara purvagam chinda vilaparahidam. Not to feel any revenge towards anyone and able to tolerate that inside. That is called tidiksha.
Sahanam sarva dukkhanam.
Any dukkham, no matter what distress comes in life, able to bear with that.
Sahanam sarva dukkhanam.
How? Not thinking that I will teach him a lesson tomorrow. Not like that.
Apradigara purvakam.
Without any revenge inside. One has to do that.
Sahanam sarva dukkhanam apradigara purvakam. If pradigaram is in, pradigaram means revenge. Apradigaram means no revenge inside.
If you have revenge inside, then it's no good. Then it's not tidiksha.
Apradigara purvakam it has to be.
And not only that, chinda vilaparahidam. That if distress comes, you should not lament about it later. You see how one has to be situated in what state of consciousness is necessary to make progress in spiritual life. These are minimum requirement. Only after this we can talk about other side of spiritual life. Spiritual life begins after we have acquired all these qualities. Otherwise it's not possible.
Sahanam sarva dukkhanam apradigara purvagam chinda vilaparahidam sa tidikshati gadhyade.
It is called tidiksha if you have these things. Which one?
Sahanam sarva dukkhanam, able to tolerate any distress that comes, adhyalpigam, adibaudigam, adidevigam, whatever it is.
Sahanam sarva dukkhanam, apradigara purvagam, without any revengeful mood, no revenge to anyone, able to accept it in that way, like the way this brahmana has done. He is not blaming those boys who have done this to him. He is saying that it is my prarabdham coming through them to me. They are not responsible for that. It's my creation. I have created that. He is very conscious and very conscious of this guilt inside for the way he lived his life in the past. So he is saying that that's coming back to me. I must have done something which is coming to me through them. That he is only seeing them as a media. Through them, that my prarabdham is coming back to me. This understanding is necessary in spiritual life. Otherwise, we will be fighting one side, the world, and the other side will be thinking, why am I spiritual life going like this?
Sahanam sarva dukkhanam apradigara purvagam.
Apradigara purvagam. No revenge. Anytime anything happens, tolerate it. Chinda vilaparahidam. Vilaparahitam, not to lament about it. Things have gone wrong. Why did this happen to me like this? Why is Krishna is doing like this to me? All these questions have no meaning. So, Satyadi Kshiri Gajyade. So, that is why when they left, when all these persons who are giving trouble to him, when they left, it is then that he sang the song. He sang the song which is called Bichugida. Which is called Bichugida. So you can see that when they left, he has become very inward looking, very internal, isn't it? And it's coming from the heart and he's expressing his thoughts to the world. Expressing the thoughts to the world. And these verses, what you will read from now on, from 43 onwards, is 18 verses there. 18 verses. Through 18 verses, Krishna has brought out the conclusion of all the Upanishads in the most amazing way through this song. And Krishna says he sang a song. What does that mean? That means he didn't have any revenge inside, because you can't, if suppose you are you won't be able to sing a song if you are angry inside, isn't it? Why it's called Bichugida? To show to us that he was very peaceful inside. In spite of all this what happened to him, he was still very, very peaceful inside. In order to show that is why it is spoken as Gatha, as a song. He sung a song. So in the spiritual life, in the spiritual world, in other words, it's a very important and famous topic, this Bichugida. Bichugida is very, very famous. And a very important topic in the spiritual life, it touches. This Bichugida touches some of the very critical things in spiritual life. And if one gets this 18 verses properly understood, practiced it, in life, Krishna is saying this is sufficient to get released from material life once for all. That powerful this is. Krishna is saying this. This 18 verses, you don't need even Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, nothing else except this 18 verses of the Bichugida. It's capable, Krishna is saying, if you can reach the same state like the Bhikshu, only then you can sing a song like this. The way he has sung. If you have understood, not by mind and brain, please don't go in that direction. That's a completely different way. If this verses has happened in your life and you have accepted that in the same way like the Bhikshu has accepted, Krishna is saying this is sufficient to get released from this material world once for all. That's how potent these verses are. That's how potent these verses are. It is amazing that a Brahmana was able to analyze things to such a fine level. So fine is his analysis of everything in this verses, what we are going to see now. He is saying like this, that what's actually keeping me here in this world? He's thinking that. First question he's asking, what is keeping me in this world? Why am I here? And I'm not blaming them for who has done this to me. But in first instance, his question is, why am I here? What brought me here? And what is keeping me to continue to live in this world? That is called samsaram, isn't it? Material existence. Material existence is what we are now. Our life, we are not thinking in that way. We are always thinking that, oh, I got so many years to live. I got my pension and I got my friends and family and society. We live in a completely different world. But this Brahmana is not thinking like that. For Brahmana, all these things don't exist, what we are talking about. Is it not? He has finished with all these things. He is saying, why am I here? What for? What is keeping me going on in this world? Why I don't get released from here? This is the first question he says. Nayam janome sukha dukkha hedu na devaralma grihakarma kala manaparam karanam amanandi samsara chakram parivartayo bhut. This is the, it's a famous verse in the Bhagavatam. Nayam janome sukha dukha hedu na devadalpa griha karma kala manaparam karana mamanandhi samsara chakram parivartaye bhut. So you can see the Brahmana's question is this, samsara chakram he call it. Samsara chakram. What is samsara chakram? Samsara chakram means the cycle of birth and death. That is happening to me. Why is it happening to me? He is asking that question. Samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. In the first verse itself, he has found out the answer. He is saying this transmigration of the body or transmigration from one body to another is only due to one reason. What is that? Due to the mind. Due to the mind. Because I have got a mind, this transmigration is happening. Atma does not have any transmigration. Krishna says that in the second chapter. As long as we have a subtle body, transmigration will happen. Is it not? Remember that? In the second chapter, Krishna has spoken that. Yeah. So, na jaye, on the one hand, Krishna says, na jayate, namriyate va kadachil, nayam bhutva bhavido vanabhuya, ajaha nityaha shashvadavayam puranam na hanyade hanyamane sharire. Na jayate, namriyate, birth and death is not for the alma. But then Krishna says in the same chapter later on, jadasya hi dhruvo mrityu dhruvam janma mradasya. So then who is taking birth and who is dying? It's a subtle body that is taking birth and leaving the body. So, that subtle body is addressed here as the mind. This Brahmana is saying that subtle body, he uses the word mind here. Generally the word used is mind. Krishna also uses the word mind in many places. So, he has come to realize that the mind is the whole problem, cause of this subtle body. Is it not? Cause of the subtle body is the mind. As long as the mind exists, you can say the subtle body exists. If the mind is gone, means if there is no more mind in a person, then he doesn't have a subtle body anymore. That means he doesn't have to accept this material transmigration anymore. It comes to an end at that time. So, and this mind, depending the strength of the mind, in some people the mind is very strong, in some people the mind is very weak. Weak in the sense that their mind is not giving them a lot of trouble. People who have got strong mind, their mind gives a lot of trouble to them. People who have got a very weaker mind, what we say weak mind, but we generally when we talk about mind, we talk about in terms of the determination, isn't it? You have got a strong mind, we say. Or somebody will say, he is a very weak mind, weak-minded person. But that's another way of addressing the mind. But actually the way in Vedantam they talk about mind is, if you have a strong mind, that means that your chittavrittis are very strong. And if you have a weaker mind, it means that the mind is not causing you a lot of problem. You have a lot of shanti inside, in other words. So, these thoughts that's coming into the mind. What does mind mean? Mind means basically thought waves, isn't it? So these thought waves is keep coming to us. And they keep coming in one way or the other way. One way, this way, that way, it keeps coming. And it makes us happy and distressed sometimes, depending on the kind of thought waves it comes. And it is these thought waves that comes to us is called the mind. Is it not? These thought waves that comes is called the mind. Thought waves is called the mind. So, suppose these thought waves has completely stopped. There's no thoughts coming anymore into us. What will happen then? It is then that we get our Surubasthiti. Surubasthiti means that we come to our spiritual identity. What's happening now is that we know theoretically that our identity is Alma, soul, is it not? But we are not experiencing that. We are experiencing all these thought waves that's coming through the mind. In other words, mind is actually covering the pure nature of the soul. Experience of the soul does not happen because of the presence of the mind. Because of the presence of the mind. But mind won't allow this to experience our identity as the self, as the Atma. So you can see one thought wave comes, it goes, another one comes straight away. And like this, the water flows in the same way, thought waves are also coming to us. And why do these thought waves come like this? That's the next question. It's interesting actually to study this mind. First thing is that thought waves is mind. That's the first understanding. And these thought waves, if it completely stops, suppose there's no thought waves comes anymore, then what will happen? We will experience our pure consciousness as we are. We will experience that straight away. It will happen. But Krishna is saying, Brahma is saying here, that the mind is existing due to what? Why does this thought waves come? Main reason for that, he says, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. It's in everybody. Rajogunam and Tamogunam is present in everybody. So, based on the strength of the Gunam, Gunabhavam they are called, Gunabhavam. Based on the Gunabhavam, the mind will become strong or weak, whichever way it is. So, if the Rajogunam and Tamogunam increases in a person, because it has increased a lot, therefore thought waves has increased. You can experience that yourself, you can try it out. That when you become involved in a lot of activities in this world, Vyavaharam, if you get absorbed a lot, you will naturally notice yourself. If you look into your own mind, you will see that there is no shanti there. Isn't it? You don't feel any peace inside. And if somebody tells you that, look, read Bhagavad Gita now, you will find it very difficult to open Bhagavad Gita. You'll say, oh, I can look at it. I'm not in a mood, we say. We put it in a nice way, saying that I'm not in a mood. What is this mood? Mood is nothing but there is a lot of Rajogunam, Tamogunam has gone inside. So more Gunam, Gunabhavam comes inside, more Rajogunam, Tamogunam is inside, it becomes more difficult. There is no Satogunam, it's completely Rajogunam and Tamogunam. So, what does mind mean? This Gunabhavam, what has come, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, when that is combined with your vasana inside, what we have created due to karma, due to engaging in karma in several lifetimes, in several bodies before, we have created a lot of vasanas inside. That is already there. So this Gunabhavam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, when it mixes with this, when it gets mixed with the vasana inside, it is called the mind. This is the best way to define the mind. If somebody asks a question, because you ask the psychiatrists or psychologists about the mind, they also don't know anything about the mind. They recognize there is a thing called mind, but they also have limitations. Problem is, they are also studying the mind with their mind. That is where the difficulty is. So that is why they also don't have any answer. Sometimes when somebody gets mentally very ill, what do? They sedate them to physically as much as possible to control them in such a way to seduce them, to reduce the effect of the mind. But they also know that by weakening your nerves, weakening your body, they are trying to control your state. That's only they can do. And apart from that, their knowledge as far as the mind is concerned is very, very limited. There's nothing you can do about it. Because this thing called mind is one of the most amazing things in our structure, in our body. So, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, when they get mixed with the vasanas, that is called the mind in Vedantam. In Vedantam, mind is like that. Rajogunam, Tamogunam inside, and if you have a lot of vasanas also inside, They will all interact each other, and that is our mind. we can all analyze our own mind and see sometimes that it is true. It is true also. So, but because it is like that, that is why we feel sometimes happy, sometimes distressed. Sometimes happy, sometimes distressed. And similarly, hunger and thirst is also an aspect of that. This hunger and thirst is also an aspect of that. Similarly, pain and pleasure. All the dualities comes from that. Pain and pleasure, hunger and thirst, and similarly happiness and distress. Similarly, sometimes you feel frustrated and sometimes you feel hate towards someone. You see, all opposing things comes from the mind. And you look at yourself and see, why is the mind like this? One moment it is going this way, the next moment it's going totally opposite way. Is it not? We all know that, don't we? How it does its job. And you yourself start thinking, only a few minutes ago, you were thinking in one way, about somebody or something you were thinking. And a few minutes later, right opposite way the thoughts are coming inside. Why is that happening? Because Krishna is saying here that this duality comes from this mixture of rajogunam tamogunam with the vasana. Vasanas, when they get mixed up with the gunabhavam it's called, rajogunam tamogunam too, that's called gunabhavam. When gunabhavam gets mixed with the vasanas, this will happen. All this is actually the tricks of the mind. The tricks of the mind. Soul has nothing to do with any of these things. This is all happening completely independent of the soul. Independent of the soul. So, interesting thing here is, Shastram is telling us that we are spirit soul. Isn't it? We are spirit soul. If I am spirit soul, why am I experiencing all these things? That all these things is not the qualities of the soul. Which one? Rajogunam, tamogunam, sattogunam, similarly vasana. None of them has anything to do with the soul. So if I am Atma, Vedam, Upanishads, Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, everything is confirming to us that your soul, Atma, isn't it? So the question comes, if I am Atma, why am I having all this problem then? With this gunabhavam and also with the vasanas what I have got. And Krishna is saying here, this good and bad thing that's coming from the interaction of the vasanas with the modes of nature, I'm continuously experiencing it. I feel I'm suffering because of this. Is it not? We all feel that, don't we? We are sort of thinking that we are suffering from this. So, forcefully, these things together, modes of nature as well as the vasanas together, forcefully, they make the jiva to suffer. Make it experience that. In reality, jiva is also not experiencing it. This is the interesting thing. Why? Because jiva is actually Atma, not different from Atma. You say, how Krishna has created this, we don't know. Such a complex thing. All we are trying to do, Krishna is put a crossword puzzle in front of you, and you are spending the whole life to solve this puzzle. How this puzzle works. So difficult to understand this, isn't it? Because again, you are trying to understand with the mind. The very mind with which you are trying to understand that itself is having problems. So, in reality, Atma has nothing to do with any of these things. Gunabhavam or vasana or the miseries of duality, none of them. Happiness, distress, hunger, thirst and pleasure, pain, all these things don't exist in the Atma. But if you ask somebody, he says, you don't know, I am the one who is suffering, we will say. We will say that, isn't it? You can say anything or keep all your Vedantam to yourself. It's me who has to go through all these things. We will say like that. Suppose you are very sick and somebody comes up to you and says, you are not this body, Prabhu. Don't worry about it. What will you say to him? You'll get angry with him, isn't it? Oh, you're coming to me preaching your all big Vedantam, he says. You will say that to him. You will say to him that it's all right for you to say all these things, but it's me who is suffering from all these things. What does that mean? It means that theoretically you have grasped that your soul, but in realization you haven't anything. So naturally your answer will be like that. But Krishna is saying here, what this Brahmana has succeeded was that whatever he has understood, he has realized it. That was his success. That was his success. So in reality, Atma is not experiencing anything. Atma doesn't have any of these problems. Jiva also doesn't have any of these problems. But it is the Jiva that is actually feeling the misery. Jiva is feeling the misery. In reality, Jiva is not experiencing. But because the mind is connected to Jiva. Mind is connected to Jiva. So when it is connected with Jiva, all the qualities of the mind, Jiva will also experience. It's experience in the sense, he will think that it's mine, my problem. It's all happening in the mind, isn't it? It's all happening in the mind. Suppose you have distanced yourself from your own mind, then you shouldn't be experiencing it. But the way it is created is, anything that's happening in the mind, in any form, it will have its effect in the Jiva. Jiva has to suffer. This is the problem. This is the problem. So, Jiva's nature is like that. That is why it's called a Jiva. You see, Atma and Jiva, what is the difference? This is the difference. Atma does not experience any of these things anytime. Any of the dualities, any of the happiness, distress, hunger, thirst, hankering, lamentation, none of them has any effect on the Atma. But Jiva has got this one problem. The difference between Jiva and Atma is this. Atma, even if it is in contact with something, it can stay out of it, unaffected by that. Jiva is not. With anything Jiva joins, Jiva will take the qualities of that entity. If it is mind, it will take the qualities of the mind. If it is body, it will take the identification with the body. If it is intelligence, it will take the identification with the intelligence. You see that? How Jiva works. Completely different than the Atma. Atma all the time independent. His presence is sufficient, nothing more is required. Just being present here in everyone, everything gets done in a natural way. And nobody can touch him. He is totally independent. Jiva, on the other hand, whoever comes into contact with the Jiva, Jiva will take that identity. If it is mind, it will take the all the good thing and the bad things of the mind you will experience in the Jiva. If it is intelligence, all the intellectual activities you will experience in the Jiva. And if it is body, all the problems of the body you will experience in the Jiva. This is the way it operates. It's very interesting actually, if you really put your mind into it. Of course, with the mind it's difficult, but it's a very complex thing. And we are thinking that this body is a very simple thing. Body is not so simple. Body is a very complex thing. So, this Jiva's nature we should know. It is like this. Whomever it goes and associates with, it will pick up all its qualities. If it's mind, whatever that is in the mind, Gunabhavam and Vasana, it all becomes Jivas then. If it is intelligence, whatever that is in the intelligence is dictating so many things, it will all come into the Jiva then. And suppose you are completely, you got some problem in your body, pain or some kind of uneasiness in the body. The Jiva will say to the body, let me come and see what's happening. And he'll take care of all the pain and pleasures of the body into Jiva. And that is when you are suffering. That's when it happens. when jiva takes over that from the body, from the mind, from the intelligence, that is when our problem starts. And we don't know whether we are Atma, whether we are Jiva, whether you are body, whether you are mind, or whether you are something else. In this way, we are this consciousness, Atma and Jiva relationship. That is why when we discuss that chapter, Mamaivamsho, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, if that verse is not properly accepted, understood, there will be a lot of problems. It will be very difficult to explain. From the when you start saying that, oh, Jiva is independent, eternally Jiva exists. No, eternally Jiva cannot exist, because at some point Jiva is only an artificial thing that is created. It's like intelligence and the mind. Jiva is another thing that's come from the Atma. Jiva's existence is like that. Its existence is like that. And Jiva's nature is always changing, depending on with whom it is associating with. It is in the body, it will have the qualities of all the problems of the body. If it is with the intelligence, it will take the aspects of the intelligence. Similarly, if it is absorbed in the body, it will experience the problems of the body. So when it is combined, associating with the body, when it is associating with the body, Jiva has got the capacity to change everything as it is his own problem. Problem is with the mind. But when Jiva goes and associates with the mind, what it does is, it says to mind, Jiva says to the mind, oh, it's not your problem, it's actually my problem. Jiva says to the mind, and Jiva puts it everything on his head, on the shoulder. This is how when we start trouble, when the trouble starts for us, isn't it? So if you ask the question, is Jiva a real thing? If you ask that question, is the Jiva a real thing? No. It's not a real thing. Jiva is not a real thing. Because Jiva is nothing but a reflection of Atma in the brain, in Buddhi. Don't confuse with the material intelligence, what we refer to. This Buddhi in the Shastram is different. Buddhi, Nishchaya Atmiya Buddhi. That means, whenever Sankalpa Vikalpa Mana, mind is creating thought waves. But you can see, when you look at life, your own life, if you analyze, you will see, sometimes you make a decision, isn't it? All the time you are making decisions in life. That decision making power is Buddhi. Is Buddhi. Nishchaya Atmiya Buddhi. That's the definition. Not calculations and problem solving Buddhi. That's not the Buddhi. Buddhi here is Nishchaya Atmiya Buddhi. That Nishchayam, to determine something. Every time you are making decision in life, is it not? So that decision making is done by someone inside, and that is coming from Buddhi. So Atma's reflection in Buddhi is this thing called Jiva. Vedantam's very, very subtle level, they have discussed this topic so much. If you are very serious about it, there is plenty to read on this subject. If you are very serious and if you are very attached to it. But that needs a tremendous amount of inquiry of the self. And in a deeper level, probing into it. The amount of knowledge related to the soul, Jiva, and Buddhi, mind, Atma, is unlimited. What they have got, and they have... And those transcendentalists who follow that path, they devote so much time in this thing. And they get great pleasure from that, by seeing things in a different way altogether. So, this Buddhi, when we say Buddhi, what is Buddhi? Buddhi is nothing but the Upadhi of the knowledge. Let's understand what that means. See, knowledge of the self is there in everybody. And In order to, Krishna has given us this body, mind, intelligence, and then the ahankaram, which we refer normally as jiva. Ahankaram is a good indication of a jiva's existence. Ahankaram. Out of these, the upadhi for knowledge is buddhi. Upadhi for knowledge is buddhi. Upadhi for knowledge is buddhi. Upadhi for action is body. Is it not? Upadhi, you would know this word upadhi. Upadhi means the medium through which you can perform something. You need a medium for everything, isn't it? So this is the medium. Upadhi for knowledge is buddhi. Upadhi for action is the body. And upadhi for desiring is what? Mind. Ichha shakti, jnana shakti, kriya shakti. Three things. It will come in the Lalita Sahasranama, it explains well. Ichha shakti, jnana shakti, kriya shakti. We are given these three powers. We have a power to desire, we have a power for knowledge, and we have a power for actions. So for those three things, three medium we have. For kriya shakti, for action, we have the body. For knowledge, we have the intelligence. And for desiring, we have the mind. We have the mind. So these three things are simultaneously operating in everybody. In everybody it's operating at that time. So, Atma or the soul, when it reflects in that knowledge, when it reflects in the knowledge, or when it reflects in the intelligence, in other words, that is what is called jiva. That is what is called jiva. So, you can see jiva has now another definition. On one side we agree, jiva is nothing but false ego. Jiva is nothing but false ego. But jiva, how did it come into existence? Because of the reflection of Atma in the intelligence. In the intelligence. Reflection, they call it. Actually, the word reflection is not the right word. In Shastram, they called bhanam. Bhanam is the word. Reflection, we say, because that's the closest word for that. Bhanam is the right word. Bhanam of the Atma is jiva. Atma's bhanam is jiva. So, that jiva, Krishna says here, that why it is called bhanam? Because when it is reflecting in intelligence, it carries with it, that is the moment it reflects, or bhanam happens, that is when this false ego wakes up in a person. I am, I am, I am. I am feeling, that wakes up at that moment. So, so then it's after that you start saying, I, isn't it? So that approach, that expression of anyone who says, I am, that is what is called the jiva. Only jiva can say, I am. Atma cannot say, I am. Atma is consciousness. He doesn't say, I am. It is jiva who says, I am. So, in strictly speaking, this jiva doesn't have any existence. But because it has reflected in the knowledge, the problem is, because it has reflected in the knowledge, it is very difficult to make you aware that it doesn't exist. Because it has reflected in the knowledge itself. You see, when it reflected, because it reflected in the knowledge, it has become difficult to tell someone that it doesn't exist. You see how difficult that is, isn't it? You see yourself, think about it and see how complex the whole thing is. Atma is reflecting in the medium, upadhi. Upadhi is this knowledge. And because it has reflected in the knowledge, and buddhi is a medium, upadhi of knowledge, it has already got inside you. It has caught you at the right place. And therefore, if somebody tells you that Jiva doesn't exist, it will not accept. Because it has already taken that place where it is not supposed to be. Where it is not supposed to be. So, suppose somebody else comes to you and says to you that Jiva hasn't taken birth. Jiva hasn't taken birth. And nobody is taking birth, nobody is dying, nobody is happy, nobody is in distress. Everything you are just feeling like this. You won't accept that, would you? In Vedantam, when you go, Krishna is going to tell us some things which we will find it very, very hard to accept it. Because of our, this is what is called conditioning. We keep saying conditioning, conditioning. What is conditioning means? Conditioning means this, that when Krishna says something, we can't accept it. That's the conditioning. It is the most difficult part of Vedantam. If you go into this side of the Bhagavatam, it is so difficult. Perhaps that is the reason why we don't bother to look at it. Most of the people don't want to read this side of the Bhagavatam. As soon as they come to 10th canto, Rukmini's marriage, everybody is happy. He says, what more do you want? And finish Bhagavatam there. They don't want to go further than that. But the whole difficult part of Bhagavatam is this Ekadasha Skandam. Particularly these, we remember we saw this 13th chapter where Hamsa Gita was spoken. Similarly, this Bhikshu Gita. All these things are... it is too subtle for us to comprehend even. And till we know all these terminologies well, what is buddhi, what is mind, what is senses. Krishna is saying to us that the birth of Jiva, the birth of Jiva. Krishna has spoken that earlier also in the 12th chapter, is it not? So, yeah. So, Jiva, Krishna is saying, in reality there is no such thing called Jiva. But because this Jiva's birth has happened in the intelligence, because Atma is reflecting through the knowledge, it is not possible for anyone to accept that. Because you are already being contaminated there. In that wrong place, the place where you are making all your decisions, the place where you are making all your decisions, that place itself is infected. Because that is where Jiva is born. So that is why you find that difficult. So no matter, if people come and tell you, suppose, if you talk to a person who is self-realized, who is realized particularly, who is in the platform of the soul, he will tell you, that you don't exist in the body. Body is not permanent. Body is not, you are not this body. You are not able to accept that, do you? You will say intellectually yes, because Shastram says that, you will say like that. But inside that acceptance is not happening. Similarly, they will tell you are not born. And that is the nature of the Atma. You are never born. He is telling the truth. But for you, it's not the truth yet. For him, it is still the truth. Similarly, he is telling you that you don't die. You will tell him, yes, yes, Shastram says you don't die, but I will be dying one day. That's what you will be still. So you can see the problem that a realized person will speak something and he is speaking the truth based on the Shastram and based on his realization. But because we are Jiva, this reflection of Atma in their knowledge, and that is where it has reflected. Because it didn't reflect in the mind, it didn't reflect in the body, instead it reflected in the intelligence. Because it reflected in the intelligence, the very place where is your most sensitive place, that intelligence, that is where you are making all your decisions. Because this has reflected in that place is already infected with this false understanding. And therefore, no matter anyone comes and tells you anything about the soul, it is not having any effect on you. For this reason. This is the reason behind it. So, you will say like this, oh, you are saying so many things, but I don't think for me, it's not true. I still have this body, I'm still suffering. Krishna is saying to us that you remember these words. If you want to understand this, you have to look back into Bhagavatam. Bandho mukta idi vyakhya gunado mena vastuda gunasya maya mulatval name mokshona bandhanam. Whole life we are struggling to get liberated. We are talking about going back home, back to Godhead. Is it not? We always say that. Somebody dies, we say, yes, gone back home, back to Godhead. Somebody dies, Karmi dies, we say, he has not gone back home, back to Godhead. We say like that, don't we? Krishna is saying to us, gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. In the first instance, you are not bound. Only if you are bound, there is liberation comes. But first understanding Krishna's point is, you are not even bound. Where is the question of liberation then? Where is the question of going back home, back to Godhead? Who is going where? Krishna is asking. when they say going back home, back to Godhead, these things are spoken only with one interest, that when somebody is experiencing a lot of distress in this world, if somebody tells you, at least after death everything will be okay, you will feel happy, is it not? You will feel, at least one day it will come to an end here. You are cursing and living here anyway, with all the problems of this world. So at least one day it's going to come to an end, you feel a little relief, it's not eternal like this. So from that angle it may help, and probably it will create some faith in a person, that you will find that after leaving this body, who knows, there's a 50% chance that I may go to the spiritual world, 50% chance I may come back. But if all the devotees come at the time of death when I'm leaving the body and chant the holy name, there's a good chance I'll go back. In this way our mind will say so many things to us. So if you get a little relief from that, what's the harm? There's no loss, isn't it? There's no loss in there. You're not giving trouble to anybody. In your own mind, you got some relief from all the problems, temporarily at least. So, because it is not clear, that is why after a while you lose that. And the same mind will play the game again. After some time, mind will tell you, there's no chance of you going back to Godhead. The same mind will tell you, 5 minutes ago mind was telling you, you will go back. 5 minutes later it's saying to you, what chance have you got? The kind of things you have done in this life, there's no hope for you to go back. The same mind will tell you. That is why in spiritual life this up and down all the time. Sometimes you say, think that you are feeling good. Sometimes you say, you're not feeling so good. This is happening because of the mind. Nothing else. Nothing else to do with anything what you are doing in this world. But Krishna's point is, Krishna is saying to us, bandho mukta idi vyakhya gunato mena vastuda. Three modes of material nature is the cause of bondage. Gunasya maya mulatval. And where did the gunam come? They came from maya. And therefore, because it's all a part of maya, name mokshona bandhanam. There is no bondage, there is no liberation either. What we really require now is this shifting our identification from the maya into atma, soul. That is what we are finding it difficult to happen, isn't it? So Krishna is saying here that though we are feeling this unfortunate situation, because the real experience we didn't have so far about the truth. About the truth we haven't experienced. All that, all the false experience what we have accepted it as satyam. Mithya has become satyam. That is the point. Krishna is going to start with these first words. This mind is a very interesting topic to study. So long as you don't know about the rope, the snake is the truth. Is it not? You saw the rope lying there. As soon as you saw the rope, you start thinking, it must be a snake. Because you didn't know about the rope. Or similarly, they gave the example that when you are walking through, there was a post somewhere. And you start thinking that it is a ghost. It is a ghost. So till you know it is a post, it's a ghost. It is a ghost. Similarly, till you don't know about the Atma, Jiva is the truth. Jiva is the truth. Till you don't know about the Atma, Jiva is the truth. So, because Jiva is the truth at the moment, all the experiences of the Jiva is also truth. Because till we know about Atma, our existence as Jiva is a truth. Till we know about Atma, it's a truth. So because it is like that, the experience of the Jiva, which is a truth now for us, all its experience is also a truth at the moment. So, it is one. That is why in Vedanta, first thing what they say to us is this, to everybody. You are people, it says. Whatever you see with your eyes is the truth for you. Whatever you hear with your ears is the truth for you. So long as you are like that, he says, it will be difficult. Most of us, our problem is like that. What we see with our eyes is the truth. What we hear with our ears is the truth. And as long as you believe like this, that this is the truth, this is the truth, based on the eyes and the ears, it's very difficult to realize the truth. These two things, particularly the ears and the eyes, they are continuously cheating us. It will take a while to get to know this, because initially if you tell someone this, whereas the exactly opposite we take it. We say, have you seen it yourself? We say, if you have seen it, it is the truth. That's what we are told. Is it not? Because that is how we accept all the evidence in the court and all is based on that. You have seen with your own eyes. Witness, they call it. Is it not? So, putting your faith in the eyes and ears, and thinking that everything that comes through the eyes and ears is the truth, we got habituated to that. It is on the strength of that we are coming to Krishna consciousness. And we are saying, if you show me Krishna, I will believe it. We say this to them. You have to show it to me, Krishna is there. Or you will say, if Krishna talks to me, I will believe it. You talk to me, I won't believe it. But if Krishna talks to me, I will believe it. You will say like that. So, practically you can see, you are completely under the control of these two senses, eyes and the ears. That's where you finished. You can't go anything beyond than that. You are stuck there with the eyes and ears. What Vedantam and Krishna and also this Bhikshu is saying to us, so long as you are under the grip of these two, eyes and ears, you can't go one more step further. It's not possible. You are stuck there. There's no hope there. So he says to us that Jiva's Satyam, all that Jiva is experiencing at the moment, is like this. Jiva's all experience is based on what it has seen, what it has heard. This is Jiva. Jiva doesn't know anything else. Jiva has no knowledge of the presence of Atma inside. Jiva has no idea that this Atma is the force behind the whole thing. This whole creation, the engine behind that is this Atma inside. Jiva has no clue about any of those things. What Jiva knows is only to look at the world. And what the world is saying, what he sees the world, and that experience what it got from the world, Jiva takes it very seriously. This is the Jiva's problem. So Krishna is saying here, this experience in this way, constantly being exposed to the world and accepting everything from the world through the eyes and the ears and accepting that as your own experience is called material existence. Is called material existence, samsara. We sing this song very happily, isn't it? Samsara dhava leaves loka. But that word samsara means what? This is samsara means. So long as, of course, when we sing, we don't think all that. We have left all that to the spiritual master and Krishna to solve out all the problems. But look at the depth of that word, samsaram means. Samsaram means anything that is coming through eyes and the ears, accepting that and living in that state all the time, based on that experience of the eyes and the ears from the world, and accepting that inside as I am experiencing all these things, and living in that state is called a samsaram or material existence. Very difficult word it is. Can you imagine that how much Vedantam gives importance when Krishna says about all these things? Most of the things what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava is too much on a subtle level. Very much on a subtle level. And similarly, all the last chapters of the Bhagavad Gita also, the final chapters particularly, as well as the second chapter, 18th chapter, all of them. So Krishna is coming from a completely different level and talking about the truth. We are stuck in here with this jiva business. As jiva, we find that difficult to accept what Krishna is saying. Krishna is not a jiva. Krishna is Atma himself. Is it not? Therefore, when Atma is speaking something, jiva cannot capture it. Jiva cannot understand what is this person saying. Jiva is completely shocked. Because jiva knows only one thing, eyes and ears. If it has come through the ears, it is true. If it has come through the eyes, it is true. It has come through the ears, we will accept it. And jiva's whole vyavaharam is based on these two. Seeing and hearing. Is it not? Seeing and hearing. So you can see, when Krishna comes and says to us, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not making any sense to us. We are saying, we have not cracked it yet. We will never crack it because it's so difficult. To come out of this jiva state is not easy. So here you can understand one thing, that this samsaram or material existence will go. There is only one correction required. Where is that correction required? It's in the mind. That's the only place correction is required. Not in the body. When we say required in the mind, you have to remember, in subtle body all the four are together, isn't it? Which one? Manasa, Buddhi, Ahankaram, Chittam. Mind, intelligence, false ego, and the Chittam, the subtle body. They combinedly call it as, sometimes we call it as mind, sometimes we'll call it as intelligence, sometimes we call it as Ahankaram, but entity is one. It is the, that is, and the mind. It's all one force which comes from the Chit Shakti. Which comes from the Chit Shakti. So, correction is required there. If that mind is gone, or the subtle body is gone, or this reflection of the Atma in the subtle body, which is called Jiva, if that's gone, or if the false ego is gone, that means your material existence is gone. That's when the material existence comes to an end. You see? So, material existence is mainly due to the subtle body and the reflection of the Atma in the form of Jiva there, who is experiencing all the distress and miseries and happiness of the subtle body. Of the subtle body. And that subtle body, based on the function, force is one. It's only one force. But based on the function, we address it as mind or intelligence or ego or chittam. Vasana, vasana atmagam chittam. So chittam is vasana, and the buddhi is the intelligence, which is a reflection of in the knowledge side of it. And then the mind, sangalpa vikalpam, and nishayalmiya buddhi, and the false ego is the ahangaram. False ego is the, which is I am. All these things. So, Krishna is saying here that this first verse is saying that if correction happened in that place, where in that subtle body, where mind, in the mind, that is where correction is required, because jivatvam is there with the mind. This mind, intelligence and ego, they are all responsible for creating this jivatvam in us. this jivatvam. Jivatvam means this jiva state in us. And in order that, to lose that, and as long as you are a jiva, samsaram does exist. Material existence will be there, as long as we are a jiva. So, jiva and samsaram are connected to each other. It is due to samsaram that it is called jiva. If you are not experiencing samsaram, you are not a jiva anymore. Samsara means material existence. And you remember that verse, first verse says, samsara dhavan analitha loka tranaya karunya gunakhanatvam praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vande maha guru shri charanaravindam. Is it not? That's the first verse. So what do they say about samsaram there? Samsaram is dhavanala. Dhavanala means like a forest fire. Dhavanala means forest fire. It's like a forest fire. All of us are walking forest fires. Each one of us. There is a big fire going on inside. Is it not? Anxiety, fear, and distress. All sorts of problems is packaged together inside. Any moment, any one of them can come out. In any form, it can manifest in us. Is it not? That sometimes when it goes out of control, that's when we go crazy. When it goes completely out of control. But all those emotions, what can happen from the mind, they are all inside everybody. In the form of vasana, in the form of gunabhavam, it is present there. So this tamogunam, rajogunam, when it joins up with our vasana, sometimes it erupts from inside, like a volcano. When it erupts, that's when we get in serious trouble. People go and commit suicide when it gets to the extreme. I'm saying they can completely lose their control over themselves and they don't know what they are doing. It's a very, this subtle body inside, it's one of the most complicated thing to understand. And the rishis, knowing very well the subtlety of that body, they have analyzed it and they found out in the whole body, this place is where the whole thing is burning. Everything is burning in that subtle body, isn't it? All our thought waves, all our modes of nature, gunabhava, everything is present there and we are making decisions. And if the subtle body functions in a reasonable way, we may get through this life without too much of a trouble. But by any reason, if anything goes wrong there in their balance, things can completely fall off the rail, is it not? Samsara dhavan analitha loga. That is where tranaya karunya ganakanatvam, that mercy of grace, Krishna's grace is required at that time. So here, he says here, Bhikshu is saying, nayam janome sukha dukkha hedu, na devadalma griha karma kalam, manaparam karana mamanandhi, samsara chakram parivartaye bhut. In one verse, he summarized everything in a nice way. He has spoken about that. He is saying here, the mind is the main cause, he says. Mind is the main. If this mind completely surrenders, then what will happen? Then you will notice that if the mind is not there, then what will happen? This happiness and distress of the world, you won't know. You won't know what's happiness and distress. We are thinking happiness and distress are all real, isn't it? That is because we are jiva. That's why I'm thinking, Atma has no happiness or distress. Happiness and distress is all in relationship with the jiva. So, and jiva is there when the mind is there. When the mind is there, jiva is there. Because jiva is nothing but the mind is nothing but the combination of the modes of nature, rajogunam and tamogunam, as well as vasana together. Vasanas and rajogunam, tamogunam combinedly create what is called the mind. And if the mind is there, jiva is there. So he is saying here that the moment that mind is gone, imagine a situation that you don't have a mind, or mind is completely finished. There is no mind operating. That means there is no thought waves. No thought waves are happening. It means that none of the happiness or distress of this world, your liking and the disliking, your birth and death, And those things you won't experience anymore. Today we are concerned about death. Death is going to come one day. I am going to die. Atma is not saying this to me. Who is saying this to me? Mind is saying to me that I am going to die. Mind is going telling me that I am going to take birth again. So this whole game of cycle of birth and death, happiness and distress, and as well as the liking, disliking, all these things is a game which is associated with the mind and mind alone. Mind and the mind alone. It has nothing to do with the self. This, who found out this? Bhikshu found out. And that is why he is telling us. He says, I found it out, he said. I found this out. That I cannot be touched by any of these things. That is why when these boys gave trouble to him, he was able to remain calm. Why? It has nothing to do with me. That clear separation from the mind happened to him. Due to what? Vairagya. Due to Vairagya. So, he says here that, he says that you can see that when the mind has gone away, there is no mind anymore, which is difficult for us at the moment to imagine that, isn't it? That we don't have a mind. People will tell you, I don't have a, if you tell anybody that I don't have a mind, this is what's happened to you, they will say. It's the other way. But if you ask that question to someone who has gone beyond all these things, who has gone beyond the mind, who is not identifying anymore as jiva, or with the body, or with the mind, that person is already feeling compassion for us, because we are stuck in this pool. So, so point is, Shastram says to us that if the mind completely surrenders, then all these things have gone. Which one? Birth and death is gone. Because it's only experienced in the mind. It is not experienced in the self. So if the mind surrenders, only because of the surrendering of the mind, birth and death goes away. Birth and death goes away. And similarly, all other experiences goes away. Liking, disliking goes away. Happiness, distress goes away. If the mind surrenders. Where is the proof? Where is the proof for that? Proof is Sushupti. Sushupti is the proof. In deep sleep state, what's happening? Same thing happens. You can see how the mind is where all our attention has to be, not on the Atma. Atma on its own doesn't require any attention. Our whole spiritual life is centered around this battling with the mind. That is where all our problem is, in the mind. So, Sushupti state you can see every night when you go into the deep sleep state, where the mind surrenders, all the problems have gone. All the problems have gone. Similarly, and in the Sushupti state you are not experiencing birth or death, or do you? In the Sushupti state you are not having liking or disliking anybody. In the Sushupti you don't have ragadvesham. In the Sushupti, you also don't have any kind of happiness or distress in Sushupti. Look at the beauty of Sushupti. Look at the beauty state of Sushupti. And see how in one stroke, by completely making the mind to surrender, because as soon as you move from dream state to deep sleep, Sushupti state, what happens? This mind goes. And that dissolution of the mind, dissolving the mind, immediately brings back to us absolute happiness. Absolute happiness. What we experience in the Sushupti state. What we experience in the Sushupti state. So, think we'll have a break now. Chedo darpanam arjanam vavamahadavagninirvavanam shreyakkailavachandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam आनंदाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मास्वमनं मनं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसंकीर्तनं नामकारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रापि दानेनिना स्मरणेन काल एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवान् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाचरिनानुरागा ತೃಣಾರವಿಶುಚೀನ ತರೋರವೀ ಸಹಿಷ್ಣುನ ಅಮಾನಿನ ಮಾನದೇನ ಕೀರ್ತನೀಯ ಸದಾಹರಿ ನ ಧನಂ ನ ಜನಂ ನ ಸುಂದರೀಂ ಕವಿನಾಂ ವಾ ಜಗದೀಶಕಾಮಯೇ ಮಮ ಜನ್ಮನಿ ಜನ್ಮನಿ ಈಶ್ವರೀ ಭವದಾ ಭಕ್ತಿರಹೇತು ವಿತ್ವೈ ಅಯಿ ನಂದತನೂಜ ಕಿಂಕರಂ ಪದುಗಾಮಾಂಶವೇ ಭವಾಂಬುದಂ ಕೃಪಯಾ ತವ ಪಾದಪಂಕಜ ಸ್ಥಿತ ದೂಲಿ ಸದೃಶಂ ವಿಚಿಂತಯಾಮ್ ನಯನಂ ಜಲದಶ್ರುಧಾರಯ ವದನಂ ಗದ್ಗದರುದ್ಧಯ ಗಿರ ಪುನಗೈರ್ನಿಜಿತಂ ತದಾವಬೋಧವನ್ನಾಮಗ್ರಹಣೇ ಭವಿಷ್ಯತಿ ಯುಗಾಯಿದಂ ನಿಮೇಷೇಣ ಚಕ್ಷುಷಾ ಪ್ರಾವಿಶಾಯಿದಂ ಶೂನ್ಯಾಯಿದಂ ಜಗಲ್ ಸರ್ವಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ವರಹೇ ನಮೇ ಶ್ಲಿಷ್ಯವಾಪಾದರದಾಂ ವಿನಷ್ಟು ಮಾಂ ಅದರ್ಶನಾಂ ಮರ್ಮಹದಾಂ ಕರೋತು ವಾ ಯಥಾ ತಥಾ ವಾ ವಿದದಾನುಲಂಬನೋ ಮತ್ಪ್ರಾಣನಾಥಾ ಸ್ತುತೈವನಾಪರಾಂ ನಾಯಂ ಜನೋ ಮೇ ಸುಖ ದುಃಖ ಹೇತು ನ ದೇವತಾಲ್ವಾ ಗೃಹ ಕರ್ಮಕಾಲ ಮನಃಪರಂ ಕಾರಣಮಾಮನಂದಿ ಸಂಸಾರ ಚಕ್ರಂ ಪರಿವರ್ತಯೇ ಭೂಲ್. What we have spoken so far is about the mind, is it not? So, mind, we have seen, that is where all the activities are happening. Everything is happening in the mind. So, Krishna is saying here that when the mind dissolves in the Sushupti, all happiness, distress, what we experience stops. Is it not? First of all, happiness, distress, birth and death, ragam, dvesha, hate and aversion and hate, or liking, disliking, all these things. Raga, dvesha is the same thing, which we call it as aversion and hate, isn't it? Attachment or aversion. Attachment or aversion, isn't it? So, attachment and aversion, happiness and distress, like, or which is liking and disliking, whatever way you call it, birth and death, hunger and thirst, all these things are expressions of the mind. Expressions of the mind. As soon as we move into deep sleep state, deep sleep state is teaching us that if the mind goes, those problems will go along with that. Which is clear, isn't it? That's what the experience, everyday experience is proving to us. If your mind goes away, the problems goes away. All these problems, fear of death, fear of birth, it's there in us. All of us have got. Where is it? It's in the mind. Ragadvesham, where is it? In the mind. Kartrutva Bhoktrutva, where is it? It's in the mind. Liking, disliking, where is that? It is in the mind. So, and this mind, when it goes into the deep sleep, it goes. Doesn't matter where it goes. We don't worry about that. But it goes. As soon as it goes, you see problem is gone. There is no problem in the deep sleep state. Krishna's point, Bhikshu's point is the same thing. Bhikshu is saying, I have understood this, he said. That it is in the mind all the problems. It's not in the self. Atma doesn't have any problems. Atma doesn't have kartrutva bhoktrutva. Atma doesn't, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Atma doesn't think any kind of attachment or aversion. Atma doesn't feel that it is going to take birth or die. Atma doesn't have any liking, disliking, happiness, this is nothing in the Atma, it's all in the mind. First thing to understand that. First thing to accept that. And that must be our first realization. If that should be the first realization, that it's all happening in the mind, not in the self. Not in the self. So, because if that mind goes in the deep sleep, if all the problems are goes away, all the problems goes away, if the same way the mind goes now, what will happen? Like the way it went away in the deep sleep. If the same thing happens in the vacant state, mind goes away, what will happen? The same thing will happen. Is it not? When the mind left in the deep sleep, all these problems are gone. Which one? Kartrutva, Bhoktrutva, Ragadvesham, birth and death, old age, and all other liking, disliking. All these problems you have seen when you went to deep sleep state, it's gone. Why? Because the mind has gone. So if the mind goes away in the same way, like in the deep sleep, in the vacant state, if the mind goes in the same way, what will happen? The same thing will happen. What happened in the deep sleep state? Because the mind is not going away in the vacant state, and because the mind has accepted that all this what you are seeing and experiencing is truth. Mind has accepted that. Inside you have accepted that, isn't it? And therefore, we are saying that Atma is suffering. I am suffering. And Krishna is the cause of all my problems. Krishna has put me through all these problems. We blame Krishna for that. Our mind is doing the problem and we are going and blaming Krishna. Why Krishna is putting me through all this distress? And or we say all the demigods are responsible. Shani has done this, Saturn has done that, or Mars has done that, or Jupiter has done that, or my time is not right, sometimes we say. Time is not correct, that's why it's like that. And finally we say our karma is responsible. Krishna is saying there, this Vichu is saying, na devada, na alma, na graha, na karmam, na kalam. Na devada alma, graha karma kalam. He says, nobody is responsible for any problem. None of the problems, none of them are responsible for any of our problems. Isn't it? So, sometimes you'll say, oh, after all, it's my prarabdham, isn't it? I have to experience it. What can I do? In one way, it is correct. One way, it's correct. But who has got the prarabdham? Atma has got the prarabdham or Jiva has got the prarabdham? That's the question you have to ask. When we talk about prarabdham, you've got to be careful also there. Do not impose prarabdham on the Atma. Atma cannot have any prarabdham. This prarabdham is also an experience of the Jiva. So only Jiva has got prarabdham. Atma doesn't have prarabdham. You see, you must know, because this is why that second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita is very important. Because it is in the second chapter, Krishna first spoke the absolute knowledge, isn't it? About Atma's unique position of the Atma, where Krishna talks about, you know, a number of verses continuously talking about Atma. First few verses, isn't it? Avinashita tadvidhi, Atma's qualifications. Krishna is saying qualities of the Atma. So we have to keep that in mind all the time. That as Atma, if we are Atma, these problems don't exist. If we are Jiva, all these problems exist. That's the way it is. If you are Atma, none of those problems exist. If you are Jiva, all the problems exist. So that is why in the second chapter, Krishna qualified that saying, what is the nature of Atma? What is the nature of Jiva? Two separately he speaks about that. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there. Then when Krishna starts instructing Arjuna, first thing he began, let's look at that, because this is important. This should be always in our mind when you hear Vedantam or Ekadashi Skandam. This background what Krishna has spoken, it stands good, because without that background, nothing is valid, whatever he has spoken later to Uddhava. So here, if you look into the verses, you will see that instructions. He says, "Karpana shishya tam shadivam prapannam." Ashochya nanya shochastam. That's where it begins. Pratnya vadam shabharsa say. That's the 11th verse. Gadasun agadam sumscha nanishochandi pandiraha. He says, that's where itself Krishna exposed Arjuna there. Isn't it? Because in the first chapter, Arjuna complained about Arjuna, in the first verse, Krishna complained about the, Arjuna complained about the, So, in the Ashochyan Anishojastum Prajnavadamsha Bhashase Gadasun Agadasumshan Anishojandi Pandita. You can see that Krishna, Arjuna is talking as a Jiva. Krishna is talking as Atma. That's the difference. Arjuna is not, Krishna is not talking as Jiva. Krishna is talking as Atma. That is why Krishna is saying, your understanding is completely wrong. Because you are lamenting grief and Atma doesn't have lamentation. Atma doesn't grieve. Jiva grieves. Jiva has grief. Jiva has lamentation, hankering, everything. So that is why he told him, Ashochyan Anyashochastvam. You talk like a very learned person, he says to Arjuna. Pratyavadamscha Bhashase. As though you are highly learned, you talk. Krishna is giving a real stick to Arjuna. He says, Gadasu Nagadasumscha. Nani Shochandi Panditaha. If you are a learned person, you don't hanker and lament. That's the first thing. Hankering and lamentation is when you are a jiva, not as Atma. In other words, Krishna is stressing this understanding to Arjuna. You are completely on the jiva platform. As a jiva you are speaking, and that is not a permanent state. It's only temporarily you are in that, stuck in that. Natvevaham, that is why he keeps on saying, Natvevaham jato nasham. Natvam neme janadiva na jaiva na bhavishyami sarve vaya mataparam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you. You can't say like a jiva. Krishna was never a jiva. So as a jiva, Arjuna and me, Krishna is saying, cannot exist forever. Can it? But as Atma, Arjuna existed all the time. Krishna also existed as Atma all the time. There was no time. That is what Krishna is saying there. There was no time. I didn't exist. Now, how people will think about that? They read this verse and they say, yeah, yeah, Krishna has been always there in the Goloka, but only I am in this body, but I'll get another body and I'll exist in that body then. That's not what it's referring to. It's purely referring to that Atma state. Natvevaham jatunasham. Because Atma jatunasham, it cannot be destroyed. That's another nature of the Atma. Atma never gets destroyed. You can't touch Atma in any way. That is the beauty of Atma, is it not? So Krishna is saying to him, na chaiva na bhavishyama sarve vayam adaparam. And nor in the future shall any of us cease to be, he says. Nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. That means Krishna is talking completely from the platform of the soul, Atma. Only in that state you can speak like this. Not in the jiva state, not in the body state. Then, Dehinosmin yatha dehi kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehandara prapti dhirastatrana mukhyati. Atma state, yatha dehi kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehandara prapti. Dehandara prapti means changing the body, like changing from boyhood to childhood, childhood to boyhood, youth, old age. It's not an important event as far as Atma is concerned. That is how you have to see that verse. Tada dehandara prapti dhirastatrana mukhyati. Why dhira is not mukhyati? Mukhyati means illusion. And dhiras never in illusion. Why? Because they are always in the platform of the soul. Never in the platform of jiva or the body. Or the body. Then Krishna mentioned about the matras prashastakam. Because only if you are in the platform of Atma, you can take the 14th verse possible. Matras prashastu kaunteya, shidoshna sukadukhada, agama bhayanantyam, tantidikshasu bharada. As jiva, you will find it difficult. Because as jiva, you will identify with the body. Then, yamhina vyadhayam diyade purusham purusharshava, samadukha sukham dhiram, somrdatvaya kalpade. Best man Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress, and is steady in both, is certainly eligible for liberation. When he says, he's already liberated, when he doesn't have all these things, then, na sato vidyate bhavo, that is the most famous of all the verses. Na bhavo vidyate sada, ubhayorabhi trishtvandam stanayor tatvadarar shivi. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that Of the non-existent, there is no endurance. And of the eternal, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. That is the most important verse. So you can see it goes like that. Avinashitu tadviddi yena sarvamidam tadam vinasham avyasyasya na kaschil kartum arhasi. That which pervades the entire body, you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul. Then andavandamime deha nityasyokta sharirina anashino aprameyasya tasmad yudyasya bharada. Material body of the indestructible, immeasurable and eternal living entity is sure come to an end. Therefore fight Arjuna, descendant of Bharata. Enam vetihandaram yachainam manyate hadam ubhavdona vijaniido nayam handina hanyate. Neither he who thinks the living entity the slayer, nor he who thinks it slain is in knowledge, for the self slays and not is slain. For the self slays, not nor is in slain. Na jayate mriyate va kadachil nayam bhutva bhavido vanabhuya ajo nityam shashudayam puranam nahanyate hanyamani. So, verse after verse, Krishna is talking about Atma. Krishna is talking about Atma. Later on, you will see, that as soon as you come to this verse, that Vasamsi Jirnai Yathavihaya, it has come to the state of the Jiva, talking about changing the body, isn't it? He's saying here, Navani Grihnadi Naroparani Tatha Sharirani Vihaya Jirna Anyadi Samyadi Navani Dehi. As a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies. Which soul? Soul doesn't accept, Jiva accepts. It's Jiva who changes the body, not the soul, giving up the old and useless ones. It is because of the verses from now on, that is this 22nd onwards. All the other verses is referring to the change of body, which is in relationship with Jiva, whereas all the previous verses were in relationship with the Atma. So, Atma and Jiva, they are different in that sense. And that is why when we discuss this verse, you got to bear this in mind, that the prarabdham we are talking about, everything, anything if you talk about, modes of nature, who has got the modes of nature? It's Jiva. It's Jiva. Who has got prarabdham? Jiva. And similarly, who has got happiness and distress? Jiva. Who has got ragadvesham? Jiva. Who has got kartrutva bhoktrutvam? Jiva. Nothing is touching Atma. And what is Jiva? Jiva is nothing but Atma's reflection in our knowledge. In our knowledge, in the buddhi. Because it's reflecting in the buddhi, we are not able to experience this in relationship with the Atma. Atma's experience is not happening because at the wrong place it's reflected, and therefore we are finding it difficult to accept it, that it is not happening in me. If somebody tells me that you are not dying, you are not taking birth, I am finding it difficult to accept. It is that change that is what is required. And that is why if you look into the Bhagavatam, you will see there, when this happened to Parikshit, the first thing he told him in the 5th chapter is, Tum tu rajan marishyedi pashu buddhi mimam jahi na jadaha pragabhudodhya dehavatvam namanshasi. That is the one verse is enough for Shuga Brahmarshi to say all these things to Parikshit. And Parikshit says, I got it now. What happened then? His understanding has shifted from the intelligence. In intelligence, his understanding has shifted from Jiva to Atma. That's what has happened. That's what he's saying here. Tum tu rajan marishyedi, my dear king, you don't die. Give up this. Pashu buddhi mimam jahi. Pashubuddhi. Pashubuddhi means? So you can see Shiva Brahmarshi is saying to us, we are all like animals, he says. Pashubuddhi is that, animal's intelligence. Pashubuddhi. Pashu cannot understand anything, isn't it? Pashu thinks I am this body. All animals think they are the body. Similarly, we are also thinking we are the body. That is why it's called Pashubuddhi. It's not is not telling us that you are like cat or dog, but that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, your buddhi is Pashubuddhi. Buddhi is Pashubuddhi. So, Pashubuddhi Imam Jahi. It so happened that for Parikshit, it got shifted at that moment. It has shifted. And that's it. Na jadaha. From that moment onwards, Parikshit realized that there is no such thing called birth and there is no such thing called death either. It's all a thought in our understanding, that's all it is. That we are accepting it this way, that I'm going to die. And I'll take birth, I don't know where I'll get my next birth. I'm frightened about that. In this way we pass our time here. So those who are self-realized, they will laugh at us. That you are struggling and worrying about something which is not even there, doesn't exist. But due to identification with the jiva, because of that jiva nature, this is jivatvam. Jivatvam means all these things. Nada jataha pragabodhyam. Because you are not born, he is saying. This is the most amazing statement in the Bhagavatam when that realization happens to Parikshit. Shiva Brahmarshi is saying to him, na jataha, you are not born. Only if you are born, you are going to die. First of all, you are not born. So where is the question of death, he is saying. Now you see the depth of this statement, what he is saying. Why it is not happening to us? That will be our question, isn't it? Na jadaha pragabodhyam dehavatvam na nangshasi. That he says here, that this avidya, ajnanam inside, give up that, he says. But of course, when Shukha Brahmarshi said this to Parikshit, it immediately happened that you are not born now and you are not going to die like the body. Body will go. That is another thing. We are not talking about your body, he says. We are talking about you, Parikshit. You are not this body. Body is gone, but body will go die also. So that is why we have to see this, that just like the fire is different from the wood, similarly, you are different from the body. You are different from the body. And sopne, he says here, sopne yatha shirascedam panjatva dhyatmana swayam yasmat pashiri dehasa dehasya tada alma ajo amara. He says that in the dream state, suppose in the dream state somebody has cut your head off. In the dream state, sopne yatha shirascedam, somebody has taken your head off. And similarly, you feel that somebody has cut your head off, and you are standing and watching that your head is gone in the dream. In the dream, isn't it? Similarly, he is saying to us that what you are seeing in your vacant state, that your body is getting old, it's dying and it's going away, it's also very much similar to what's happening in the dream state. I know it's sometimes very hard to by the time people read all these verses, they practically give up. They can't go further. Why? Because of the rajogunam, tamogunam inside, in their own conscience. It's all filled with that. They're saying it's not making any sense, they say. How will it make sense? Because that's why many instances in spiritual life, first thing they do, to do a lot of sadhana in the beginning, as much as possible, that so that this ajnanam avidya, which is very deep inside, you can pull out a lot out of it from inside. Because when Shiva Brahmarshi says this to Parikshit, na jadaha, he says, you're not born, then where is the question of death? First of all, you have to be born to die, isn't it? But you're not born even. So where is the question of death, he is asking. So in the same way, here, as we have seen, who has got the prarabdham? Jiva has got the prarabdham. Everything jiva's problem it is. So, and similarly, who has done the karmam? We say we have done karmam. But if you look at it from the viewpoint of Shukha Brahmarshi, we have not done any karmam. Karmam jiva has done. We have not done any karmam. Jiva has done that. So only if you have done karma, prarabdham will come. From karma comes karma vasana. And because of karma vasana, you get prarabdham later. So, but if you have not done any karma, where is the question of any karma vasana? And if they have no karma vasana, there is a question of prarabdham then. So that is why he is saying like this. That na deva dalma graha karma kalam manaparam karana mamanandi. All these things, prarabdham, karmam, kalam and vasana, gunabhavam, everything is in this package called mind. That is where, and we can see this, you see this verse is important because in Bhagavatam, in the 22nd chapter, before this chapter, last chapter I think it was, 22nd, isn't it? Yeah, 22nd chapter, while concluding Krishna said, if you look into the 55th verse, Artehi avidyamanebi samsardirna nivartate dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yatha. One verse you can see. It was 55. Artehi avidyamanobi samsardirna nivartate dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yatha. What is Krishna saying there is, when you are in your deep sleep state, when you are in your deep sleep state, somebody has cut your head off. It is easier to understand this verse through this example. Somebody has cut your head off and you are standing and watching that. You are standing, you are conscious what's happening. Somebody has cut your head off. And you are conscious of that, your head is gone. But in that sleep, in the dream state, when you are there in that state, it's real for you. That your head is gone. But as soon as you wake up, what happens? Nothing is true then. Is it not? Nothing is true. Your head is still there. You checked your head. It's there. It's gone. Similarly, Krishna is saying to us, in the vacant state, what's happening? It's also like that. You are saying, Krishna says, you are saying that everything is true, real in the vacant state. Nothing is real in the vacant state as far as Krishna is concerned. It is as real as it is in the dream state. That's all it is. That's what that verse is saying. Artehi avidyamanevi samsardir na nivartade. Artehi avidyamanevi samsardir na nivartade. Krishna says there, isn't it? And dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yatha. He says there. In other words, suppose in the vacant state, you have been meditating on some sense enjoyment. Some kind of sense enjoyment, doesn't matter what it is. And you kept on meditating on that, all the time thinking about it. Oh, if I could enjoy like that, or enjoy like this, whichever, whatever you had in your mind, any kind of sense enjoyment, going on a holiday somewhere, or enjoying with some people, or even enjoying a big feast, whatever it may be, some kind of gratification for the senses, you are absorbed in the vacant state. And you are so absorbed in that, it appeared in the dream. It happens, is it not? Happens. When you have thought about something very deeply, it will come in the dream. And when it comes in the dream, you are experiencing all that in the dream. All that sense gratification. And then, suddenly you woke up from that. When you woke up, you realize that it was, you are saying that it was not real. You say that it was not real. But actually it was real when you were in that state. These three states, none of them are real. That's the first thing to understand. Jagrat, vacant state, dream state, or deep sleep, none of them are real. None of them are real. But till you wake up into the vacant state, they were real for you. But as soon as you woke up into the vacant state, that's what they say. Normally they say like this, that you wake up from the dream state to the vacant state. You wake up from the dream state to the vacant state. When you have woken up at that time, when you have not woken up from the vacant dream state to the vacant state, all the miseries of that experience or all the happiness of that experience was still there. Is it not? You are enjoying it or you are suffering, whatever it is. Or the misery or the fear, you experience all the fear of the dream, you experience all the anger or all other emotions, whatever normally you will experience, all that was there in the dream state. But as soon as you woke into the vacant state, that's gone. Krishna is saying to us, when this self-realization happens, and when you wake up into Turiyam state, the fourth state, you will know automatically that this vacant state also was very much similar to the dream state. It's only a question of waking up from one state to the another state. These three states, vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, all of them are false. And because it is like that, that is why when Krishna is saying to us that Alma doesn't have any of these, we are finding it difficult to accept it. Why? Because we have taken vacant state as real. This is the problem. If you start treating the vacant state like the dream state, and if you study all the three states properly, you can see that vacant state is not anywhere more real than the dream state. Krishna is telling us, the moment you woke up from dream state to the vacant state and all the miseries of the dream state has disappeared, similarly, if you wake up from the vacant state to the Turiyam state, the fourth state called Turiyam, these problems of the vacant state also immediately disappears. That is why these three states are so important. Artehi avidyamanevi samsardir na nivartate. Why? Dhyayato vishayanasya sotne anarthagamo yatha. These words appear in the Bhagavatam in about half a dozen places. In the 11th canto twice, in the 3rd canto it comes one or two times, and 4th canto it comes. So naturally, Krishna keeps that very serious. Otherwise it shouldn't come like that, isn't it? Artehi avidyamanevi samsardirna nivartate. Dhyayado vishayanasya sapne anarthagamo yatha. He says, look at the subtlety of that. Krishna's point is very straight. He's saying to us that you are taking this dream, vacant state, so that is your whole problem. Because we took this dream, vacant state as real, that's where our problem started from that day. All our problems in self-realization is because of this vacant state. Accepting vacant state as the real state. So till we come out of this, it's very difficult. And so, here, so this thing, Krishna, when Parikshit was told by Sukadeva Goswami that Tundurajan Marishyedi Pashimuddhim Imam Jahi, Sugar Brahmarshi is completely in that state of the Turiyam state, Samadhi state, in other words. Turiyam means Samadhi state. In that Samadhi state, he is saying this to Parikshit. Up to this point in time, Parikshit was also like everybody else. But as soon as it went in, the message went in, Parikshit agreed that, now I understand what you are saying. Parikshit acknowledges that. How did he acknowledge? Siddhosmi, anugrahidosmi. See the gratitude of Parikshit. Parikshit is saying to Sudev Goswami, Siddhosmi, I got it, he said. I got it. Anugrahidosmi, I am blessed by you. I am blessed by you. Otherwise this would have never happened. And the same thing what here Bhikshu is also saying. I got it. It has happened by Krishna's grace, it has happened to him. He's saying this, that Manaparam Karana Mamanandi Samsara Chakram Parivartaye Bhul. So when you analyze these things, when you analyze all these things, you can see that actually Prarabdham also doesn't exist. After saying all about Prarabdham, how we say Prarabdham also doesn't exist. Karmam also doesn't exist. And similarly, none of these things, what we are concerned about, doesn't exist. Why? Because in that state, if you look at it, you can see here that the jivatvam is what is making all these things feeling that these are all real, real, real. We think it is real. So, mind is a very, very powerful thing. Mind is a very powerful thing. And mind is not able to, Jiva is not able to win over the mind. Jiva is not able to win over the mind, because mind is more powerful than Jiva. So, continuously, the mind is keeping Jiva under its control. You see, mind is keeping Jiva under its control. This is our present state. We understand everything what Krishna is saying, but because Jiva is under the control of the mind, Jiva is under the control of the mind, and therefore it cannot, we are not able to switch. And the Jiva itself is existing in the mind. The Jiva itself is existing in the mind. Between mind and intelligence, only by its function there is a difference. In Vastu it's the same one. But Vritti it is called. Vritti means the function. In Vritti there is a difference between the mind and the intelligence. So, because of this only, Jiva was born. Jiva took birth. You know that verse, Mamaivamsho Jiva Loke verse. It's famous, isn't it? Now, Jiva Loke, Mamaivamsho Jiva Bhutam, it says here. That truth which has become Jiva is Sanatanam. That is how that verse you have to understand. Otherwise, if you take it the other way, it's a problem. Mamaivamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, it says. Which means, Atma which has become Jiva is Sanatana. Means Atma is Sanatana, Jiva is not Sanatana. Whereas Dvaitis find it very difficult with that verse. They misinterpret that. They cannot give any powerful arguments to support that. Because you will see later on, Brahma Bhudam Krishna says, who becomes Brahma? Atma becomes Brahma. When Atma becomes Brahma, he is called Brahma Bhudam. Brahma Bhudam, he has become Brahma. Similarly, when Atma becomes Jiva, he is called Jiva Bhudam. Isn't it? When Atma becomes Jiva, he is called Jiva Bhudam. But Vastu is only one, Atma. Atma is changing all the time. Its bhavam is changing. So Jiva is actually nothing but Atma. Another manifestation of Atma it is. So, that bhanam, remember, bhanam means that reflection. Where did this happen? It happens in the knowledge. It happens in our knowledge. And where did the knowledge happen? Knowledge has happened in the in our subtle body, which is called in the Shastram as Andhakaranam. Andhakaranam, internal organs. These five senses of knowledge and five senses of action is called external organs. External organs. Mind, intelligence, false ego, chittam, they are called internal organs. Therefore, it is karanam means senses. Karanam means senses. So, senses of knowledge and senses of action. Jnanendriyam, karmendriyam, they are called. Five senses of knowledge we have and five senses of action, which you know what they are, isn't it? Senses of knowledge are eyes, ears, nose, touch, smell. All these are senses of knowledge. Hands, legs, rectum, genitals, all these are senses of action. So, karmendriyam, jnanendriyam they are called. They are both indriyam, they are karanam, senses. Similarly, in our inside, there is karanam. They are called andhakaranam, senses inside, which are the mind, intelligence, false ego and the chittam. Four things. They are together called andhakaranam. So it is in the andhakaranam. This andhakaranam is one thing. We call it different names by mind, intelligence, based on the function what it has got. So it is in the andhakaranam that Atma has reflected. Bhayanam happened in the andhakaranam. And it is that knowledge that is spread in the whole creation. That is spread in the whole creation. Because you can see here, this is interesting, that this knowledge For example, when we say our knowledge, what is the knowledge what we are talking about? Knowledge means, today if somebody asks me about my knowledge, what will I say? I will say, knowledge means, refers to all my awareness of this creation. Is it not? That this whole world exists. I belong to a particular place. I belong to a particular family. I am a man. I am coming from such and such a place. In hundreds and thousands of identities is all in me, inside me, in relationship with this world. Is it not? So this is called knowledge. This is called knowledge. And where is that knowledge? It is inside me, not in the world. It's inside me. And it is, so the whole world is present inside me in that knowledge. Inside me in this knowledge. So all that is reflecting in your knowledge that it is awareness is happening. This awareness that, so for example, suppose you are saying yourself that I'm coming from London. So that means inside you, in your knowledge, that awareness is there of London. London exists for you inside you. And you are identifying with that London inside you. Similarly, all the other identifications with everything and rest of the things in this world is all inside you. It's all inside you. That is why Krishna is saying here that if you are all this knowledge of the vastu is inside you, then, and you say that you know about these various things in this world, what you are referring to, the vastu that you are talking about, that you know, must be inside you. Just like you are saying about the world, various things about this world. Somebody is talking about his wife, or someone talks about her husband. When they are talking about their husband or wife, where is the husband and where is the wife? They are inside you. Isn't it? In your awareness it's there. In your knowledge it is there. And that is where Jiva has born. Jiva was born there. And because Jiva was born there, all these knowledge what is inside you is connected with the Jiva. Because Jiva got birth there, you see, this knowledge what you have inside is about this world. Various things, let it be anything, doesn't matter. All the knowledge, information what you have collected about this world, which you are keeping to yourself, that is inside you. And that is where the Jiva took birth. So what happened? Jiva got everything with it. Jiva got everything with it. So what will happen is, at the time of self-realization, that this reflection of Atma in the form of Jiva, which is called Bhanam, or that reflection, that stops. The reflection stops. The moment the reflection stops, there is no Jiva to connect itself with all these information what you have collected about the world, and therefore the world will not exist anymore after that. So you see the point. What happens at self-realization? This is important. That people ask all these questions because we cannot grasp it. We completely leave it. You can't leave it because it is explained very well in the Upanishads and all that. This will come through very well. They are saying to us that this whole world, where does it exist? That's the first question. The world exists inside you. Is it not? Inside you the world exists. And that is where in your awareness or in your knowledge, which is in the subtle body, that is where this world existing at the moment. That is where Atma has reflected. Our Bhanam happened there and Jiva was born there. Jiva was born there. Suppose that reflection doesn't happen anymore of Atma in the Chittam, what we call as the subtle body. What will happen then? Then there is no Jiva to take on board this world. Connection with the Jiva and the world is broken. And once there is no Jiva, what remains then? Only Atma. At that time you will see the world may be existing the way it is, but the world in you has gone. You see? See that? That is realization. Self-realization means this. When the world inside me, if it goes away, then I am released. That is what release means. The world will continue as it is, but so what? If it is not bothering you, what does it matter? But today what has happened is it has got inside you. And once it is inside, where Jiva has gone. And when Jiva is there, you have all the miseries. Rakam, Dvesham, Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam, Sukham, Dukham, hunger, thirst, hungering, lamentation. All the problems of this life is all there because Jiva is there. And Jiva was born because Alma has reflected there in that knowledge inside. So, in the Upanishad, how they put it like this, that when the world has disappeared, at the point when Jiva was born, say the Jiva is gone. Jivatvam is gone. Because Jiva is a temporary situation. It's not permanent. Till you realize the self, Jiva will be there. Once you realize the self, Jiva is gone. Jiva is gone. Where does Jiva go? And at that point, Krishna is saying here that bhānam means that reflection. Jiva dissolves in avidya. Jiva dissolves in avidya. That's what happens. Exactly what happens in the Sushupti state. So when it dissolves, what happens? The world is gone. Can you say in Sushupti that the world exists? No, you can't, can you? Why? Because Sushupti, it has dissolved, it has gone. So at that point, not only that the world doesn't exist, you also don't exist. Ahankaram has also gone, is it not? So therefore, you have gone, world has gone. Then what exists then? What remains there at that time? And not only that, your so-called experiences, what you had in the vacant state, that is also gone. And similarly, no birth, no death in that deep sleep state. Everything goes away. So it all comes back as soon as the antakaranam or mind has born. When the mind is born, everything comes back. So what is the reason for this mind to go and to come back? That's the next question, isn't it? When all these things, you can analyze this way, everything, then in the Vedantam, they give a lot of importance to these things, because the more these things we have digested in our way, everybody has to digest it in their own way, whatever that suits them. Time we have to devote for this, some time, and get to some grip with it, that this is the reality, what Krishna is saying there. So, what is the reason for this to happen? In reality, Krishna is saying here, whatever it may be, there's only one reason, he says, that is ignorance. Avidya is the cause of this problem. Avidya is the cause of this problem. So, as long as there is avidya in us, this business will continue. Which one? The appearance and disappearance of the mind in a person. Appearance of the mind and disappearance of the mind. This will continue so long as there is avidya. Because people do not know this, therefore what they will say, that the cause is karma. So, where did karma come from? Karma came from avidya. If there is no avidya, there will be no karma. So, because of avidya, karma came. And because of karma, karma phalam has come. Results of the karma. And so you will, as long as you have avidya, you will have karma and you will have karma balam. Once the avidya has gone from inside, karma will come to a stop, karma balam also won't be there. This is the way it works. So Krishna talks about that. So the point is here, how long will I suffer? If you ask the question, so long as you have avidya, you have to suffer. And after that, you won't experience any problem. So now Krishna brings it back everything to the avidya. Now you see avidya. Avidya means what? Avidya means ajnanam, isn't it? Ajnanam. Ajnanam means what? Absence of jnanam is ajnanam. Absence of jnanam is ajnanam. This is the reason. Remember yesterday when we talked about Uddhava and Vidura and Maitreya, I mentioned this. They are all talking about jnanam, jnanam, jnanam. They are not talking bhakti. They are saying jnanam, jnanam, jnanam. Why? Because they know this problem. That in the absence of jnanam, there is ajnanam. There is ajnanam. When ajnanam is there will be karma. When karma is there, result will be there. When the result is there, one has to suffer. One has to suffer. But once the jnanam comes, what happens? Ajnanam goes. And after that, there will be no karma. That is why jnanis, even if they are doing something, there is no result of that bothering them. Because for them, there is no karma. They may be physically doing karma, but because they are situated in jnanam, karma bhalam, karma doesn't have any effect on them. That is the reason Krishna has done so many things, isn't it? Krishna is responsible for the whole Mahabharata war. You should be tried as a war criminal for that. Like we did with all other politicians in this world. Isn't it? But you can't do that with Krishna. Why? Because Krishna says, I have not done anything. So you can, from the Vedantam if you look, Krishna's information is perfect. Is it not? Whatever we are doing inside this Maya, in the name of war crime, we ask some social, they're saying that this Prime Minister should be taken to the Hague International Court and he should be put into what do they call, what do they say, for the justice should be enforced. They did that with Saddam Hussein and all that, isn't it? Then that Saddam Hussein and all that. Similarly, war crimes, people, leaders do and they get into trouble. So, if you on this basis, if you look at Krishna, how do you think about Krishna? On the basis of our law in this world, what will we say about Krishna? So, but Krishna is saying, I have not done anything, he says. I have not done anything. Why? Because he is Atma. Who has done? Jiva has done. Atma hasn't done anything. So, ajnanam, this is ajnanam. This is called ajnanam. This is why when you see Vidura, Uddhava, Maitreya and all that, when they are talking about jnanam, you start wondering, what is this jnanam? Jnanam is this. How do you get freed from this ajnanam? Ajnanam is this. What is ajnanam? Ajnanam is this, that I am doing things, I am responsible for everything. And ajnanam causes this mind to take birth. Mind takes birth because of ajnanam. Ajnanam is the cause behind this mind. The rishis, the sages, they found out all these things. In such a subtle level, they were able to understand these principles, spiritual principles. As soon as they found out that ajnanam is the cause of my problem, why I am born and why I am going through this, whole causes nothing but ajnanam. That is why in Vedantam and in the Vedam, stress is on this knowledge. Bhakti and all its supplementary things, they gave importance to the knowledge of the realizing the truth. Truth is given importance. And you can see in the verses what we looked yesterday. Jnanam, jnanam, jnanam. They're all saying this. Uddhava is saying, talking about jnanam. Is it not? Uddhava says to Vidura, Krishna, before he left, he gave me this jnanam, he says. That's how he put it. He didn't say he gave me bhakti. He said he gave me jnanam, he says. So then Vidura is asking Uddhava, what you jnanam you got from Krishna, give that to me. Vidura is saying, give that jnanam to me. Uddhava is saying to Vidura, I cannot give you that jnanam. Krishna has asked Maitreya Maharshi to give it to you. Vidura goes to Maitreya in Haridwar. And Vidura is saying to Maitreya Maharshi that you have to give me this jnanam. So from this you can understand why jnanam is important. The Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly in the Ekadasha Skandam, most of the thing is a combination of jnanam and bhakti. Krishna has glorified both. In the 28th chapter, you will see Krishna glorified jnanam to a very high level. In the 29th chapter, you will see Krishna glorifying bhakti, both. So, ultimately, jnanam and bhakti, there is no difference. There is no difference. One complements the other. One complements the other. You need the jnanam to escape. But in order to get that jnanam, you should have bhakti. Otherwise, it won't happen. This is how it is connected to each other. Without jnanam, remember this, for jnanam you require shraddha. For bhakti you require surrender, sharanagati. From sharanagati you get bhakti. And a real devotee will know one day that all that what he has acquired through bhakti is the same thing what a jnani has acquired through his jnanam. The prapat may be slightly different, but when it comes to the goal, they all join together. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam is always called both as a bhakti grantham, as a jnana grantham. Both are there in the Bhagavatam. They are both present there, particularly coming to the last canto. So, coming back to this, that how long will you suffer even though it is the result of your karma? The experience of this misery of karma will not go away. You see, you are experiencing the result of your karma, isn't it? That's what you are experiencing at the moment. But the cause of that experience, this karma result is ajnanam, avidya. Avidya is the cause of that. But because avidya is there in all of us, first of all we have to accept that. I have avidya in me. Avidya in me. That's why you will see in Bhagavatam, when Krishna spoke about that to Uddhava, what did he say to him? Arteshu avidyamanevi, he says. He says the problem is avidya. There is no proper realization, in other words. Arteshu avidyamanevi. Isn't it? Arteshu avidyamanevi. Samsritirna nivartate. And similarly, if you look into the 10th chapter also, Krishna will say the same thing. In the Bhagavatam is like this. You have to go back and forth in so many places to get the message from that. So, whenever Krishna has spoken these things, it was all spoken with, Krishna says there, that the, while talking about this, he says, Vaisharadi Sadi Vishuddha Buddhir, 13th verse in the 10th chapter. Dunodi Mayam Gunasamprasudam Gunamsha Sandakya Yadalpa Medal Soyamja Shamyat Asamid Yadagni. Remember this, that a disciple has gone to the spiritual master, and due to the constant interaction with the disciple and the spiritual master, Acharyorani Radhyasyal Andeva Sutararani Talsamdhanam Pravajanam Vidyasanti Sukhavaha. That is the 12th verse. This is what's happened between the spiritual master and the disciple. And then, comparing with the fire, he says that Vaisharadi Sadi Vishuddha Buddhi. That, what does that mean? Vaisharadi means, Vaisharada is personification of spiritual knowledge. Sharada. So, Vaisharadi means, Krishna mentions like this, that Vaisharadi means that Vishuddha Buddhi. Vishuddha Buddhi means purified intelligence. In other words, this avidya, what has been reflecting in me, in my chittam, what was reflecting there, which gave birth to jiva, isn't it? Avidya, alma has reflected in my andhakarana, in my subtle body. It has reflected there. Where did it reflect? It reflect in my ajnanam. In my ajnanam it has reflected. Ajnanam and jnanam from the absolute platform is non-different. Here in the mundane level you can call it jnanam ajnanam. But when it comes to absolute level they are non-different. In the sense that it is reflecting awareness in the form in my intelligence. And that is what Krishna is saying here. Vaisharadi sadhi vishuddha buddhir dunodi mayam gunasam prasudam. Now, when did this reflection begin? It's due to the presence of maya. Due to the presence of maya. Maya is the cause of all of these things. Atma is reflecting. You may ask the question, why Atma is reflecting like this? Reflection is due to the presence of maya. Due to the presence of maya. Gunamscha samgrahya yad alpamedat swayamya shamyat asamit yathagni. In the so many places you will see this coming back again and again. Krishna says this too. Even if you look at Krishna says, sorry, one second. When Krishna started the instructions to Uddhava in the 7th chapter, isn't it? Uddhavadesham begins in the 7th chapter. When he started instructing Uddhava about he says there, you can see the 7th chapter if you look, he says that Yadidam manasau vacha chakshubhyam shravanadibhi nashvaram grihyamanam cha vidhimayam anumayam. He says that Yadidam manasau vacha. It is amazing sometimes. Krishna is very amazing. He is saying to Uddhava, Yadidam manaso vaja chakshubhya shravanadibhi. Same thing what I was saying before. You are people, he says to Uddhava, whatever you are hearing and whatever you are seeing, you are thinking it's all truth. This is the type of people you are, he says to Uddhava. He says, you are people like this. Whatever you hear and whatever you see, you will believe it is truth. Yadidam manaso vaja chakshubhyam shravanadibhi. Know this one thing, he says. Nashwaran ruhyamanam cha vidhi maya mano mayam. All that is maya, Uddhava. Don't come and tell me about it, he said. I don't want to know about it because I know what maya is. Krishna knows what maya is. Whereas Uddhava doesn't know. Uddhava is going and saying to Krishna so many things. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, that whatever you are coming from your mind, whatever your words you are speaking, or whatever you have heard or whatever you have seen, all that is nonsense. That's what Krishna is saying to Uddhava. Yadidam manaso vaja chakshubhyam shravanadibhi nashwaram. Therefore it is nonsense. Nashwaram means what? Temporary. Temporary. Something that's coming in life and goes away. Can you take it very seriously, anything? If you are taking it seriously, Krishna says you are a right idiot. That's what he is saying to us. Things that's coming in your life, some experience you got in this life. Why? Because vidhi, know this, he said, maya manomayam. It is a product of maya or it's a product of mind. Two things together. Maya got into the mind first. Three modes of nature. Maya is three modes of nature. That got inside the mind. These two together is giving you the trouble. And you are coming and asking me, he says to Uddhava, what is transcendental knowledge? And then he also mentioned there, Pumso ayuktasya nanartho. All your Brahman, illusion is, gunadoshabha, karmam, agarmam, vigarmedi, gunadoshadhiyo vida. You are going and doing all gunam, karmam, agarmam, vigarmam. All three things you are going and doing there. And then you are evaluating that, gunam dosham, this is good, this is bad. What meaning has it got? He is asking Uddhava. And then he says to him, tasmat, therefore, yuktendriya gramam, yukta chittam idam jagat, almanikshasya vidadam, almanam mai adhishware. When we discussed this 7th chapter, we went through all these things. If you can remember, those chapters are very, very important in the Bhagavatam. If you don't take all these things on board, otherwise, what's there in the Bhagavatam? This is Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, Atma Nichasya Vidadam. If you are not always taking Atma in your calculations, in all your analysis, Atma Nichasya Vidadam, Atmanam Mai Adhishware. I am that Atma, and it is under the control of Atma everything is happening. Krishna is stressing that point very strongly to Uddhava. So then there are many other verses. Jnana vijnana samyuktam alpa bhuta sharirinam alpa anubhava dushtasma andarayarna vihanyase. So all these things is only to stress this one point Krishna is saying that the what he has spoken here also, that manaparam karanam amanandi, in order to study Atma, we need to study mind first. The mind, the influences, interactions between all these different elements, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, and jiva, and finally Atma. So that's what here you can see, that same thing Krishna mentions there, that let's understand all these are together, you can't separate them out. For example, you have seen here avidya or ajnanam is the cause, and although you are experiencing the karma, result of karma today, you can't blame the karma for everything, you have to blame the ajnanam for this. Because the moment your ajnanam has gone from inside, once the avidya goes, karma goes. Because karma was born from avidya, isn't it? So once the avidya goes, karma goes. If karma goes, karma bhalam goes. You won't suffer anymore after that. So, and cause of this ajnanam, Krishna mentions here, that cause of this ajnanam, where is the ajnanam? Ajnanam is in the mind. Ajnanam is in the mind. So, and karma, where do they take birth? From the mind. Mind, karma also take birth from the mind. Ajnanam is in the mind, and karma also takes birth from the mind. Now, how come in the mind the karma takes birth? This is another question. The reason for that is modes of nature. Tamogunam, if it is excessive tamogunam or rajogunam in a person, it works like this. If there is more tamogunam, there is more desires. And if there is more rajogunam, the action will start to fulfill those desires. So this is why in the beginning we said, now you see the difference between sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. When the mind is filled with rajogunam and tamogunam, depending on the proportion in which it is there, if there is excessive tamogunam inside, desires will build up, first thing. That is the nature of tamogunam. Desire will come. The more the desires, and if there is added to that, if rajogunam fills in, to fulfill those desires, action will start. See that? That is the relationship between rajogunam, tamogunam and the mind. So, and those desires will give the encouragement to start karma, the desires that is developed inside. They give this example like this. Suppose there is a nice mango tree standing there, and you are passing through. The tree has got a few very good mangoes. It's a first class mango, and it is on a few only, but they are on the top of the mango tree. They are on the top of the mango tree. You are passing through. Now, when you looked at the mango, the color of the mango and the taste of the mango and the quality of the mango, everything so ripe, ready to eat, you want to have it. Why the desire came? Because of tamogunam in the mind. If you have tamogunam inside, desire will come. Normally a desire shouldn't come, but because of the desire, tamogunam inside, that desire has come. So, then what is the next thing you decide? Let me climb the mango tree and get it. You decided to climb over to the mango tree. And you got in. It was a bit difficult because there was a lot of ants which were running over the mango tree. And some of the, these big, big ants which run over the mango tree, they can bite you really. But you were willing to put up with that for the sake of the mango. So you have decided to fight against all the other difficulties of climbing. There's a possibility of falling from there. Possibly the branch may break. But in spite of all that, you have put all your energy to climb onto the tree and to go up. And you managed to go there, get the mango, and you came down. This is how you analyze this. First of all, the desire came for the mango from Tamoguna. Then Sattvagunam is telling you, don't go. It's too much hassle. It's not worth. You can get a mango from the market if you have money. If not, forget it. I can live without a mango. Sattvagunam will tell you that. Sattvagunam says to you, why go through all this hassle? But meanwhile, what happens? Rajogunam comes and he says, so what? If I have to struggle, so what? If I fall, so what? If the ant bites me, so what? I can, sometimes when they climb onto the mango, what they do, they take these ashes and rub it on their body, a lot, all over the body, and then they climb. Because they say if the ashes are there, then when the ants come, they see the smell of that ashes. Then they stay away. They won't bite you. So they have their own ways of avoiding that. So this example is to show it to us that these three modes of nature, how it works in all of us in different ways. Like an example, he says here that the tree was quite tall. It was pretty difficult to go to the top and get this. So Sattvagunam is telling you from inside, why take this trouble? If anything happens, if you slip and fall, break your hand or leg, you are in problem, isn't it? In problem. But there is a fight going on inside between Sattvagunam and Rajogunam. Sattvagunam is giving you some wise advice, but Rajogunam is telling you, don't bother, get the mango. That's the first thing. Get the job done. From inside, Rajogunam is telling you, look at how the modes of nature work inside all of us. In everything if you take in the life, you can see this process happening. Very often, same thing will happen. So, it is possible that you may slip and fall. It's possible that it is slippery on the tree and the ants may bite. But branches can break. But still, you are willing to climb on that. And you remember, at some point in time, the Rajogunam wins over the Sattvagunam. Rajogunam wins over the Sattvagunam. So how did that win? Because Rajogunam was more powerful than the Sattvagunam in us. So you can see all of us, when we are in our actions in this world, this is the underlying principle. Tamogunam created the desire. Sattvagunam advises not to get entangled. Rajogunam says no, get involved. Doesn't matter what the outcome is. So have you noticed how three gunam gives three different advice? Completely opposing, isn't it? So out of these three, who is more dangerous? You can see the two big things are the Rajogunam and Tamogunam, isn't it? They together do all the damage. They together create all the damage. So generally they say, due to the power of the higher intensity of Rajogunam and Tamogunam, karmam and desires are born. So desires and karmam were born in everyone due to these two gunam. That's why they are called gunabhavam. Gunabhavam they are called. So gunabhavam and vasana, when it combines together, that is the mind. That is the mind. Where did this gunabhavam, where did they appear? They appeared in the mind, is it not? They appeared in the mind. So, so in that case, the jiva, and jiva's upadhi is what? Jiva's upadhi is this andhakaranam, subtle body. That's where jiva is it not? Andhakaranam is its upadhi. And what else is there in the upadhi? These three modes, Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, that's there. Jiva is there and the Andhakaranam, subtle body is there. So all of them, where were they born from? They were all born from one thing only, avidya or ajnanam. This is the Vedantam. Vedantam says, avidya is the original cause. From there was born jiva. From there was born the three modes of nature, and from there also born the mind, or andhakaranam, as you call it, altogether. So Andhakaranam is Jiva Subhadi and mind. And in the mind is the three modes of nature. All of them combinedly were born from Ajnanam or Avidya. Ajnanam means what? Ajnanam means this, not knowing that I am Atma. That is Ajnanam. That is our basic Ajnanam. I just don't know that I am Atma. I'm thinking I'm this body. That is called Ajnanam. So here, what does Ajnanam mean? Ajnanam means this, that not knowing that it is a rope. It's a rope. Not knowing it's a rope. That's all it is. The moment you know that it is a rope that is lying there, then there is no more snake there anymore. Snake doesn't exist anymore. So even if you have thought in your mind, oh, the snake has touched me, or the snake has bit me. And sometimes it happens, people think that in their mind inside, they felt that the snake has bitten me. And they became unconscious and fell. And sometimes they died also. It's not because of the poison that people die. Often people die out of the shock they get from the snake bite. Many often, the body has a capacity to withstand the poison of the snake. But what happens is, quite often if you see into the villages where there is a lot of snakes and when you get, if you read the report, you will see that the person died not from the poison, he died out of the shock. What happened? Because inside him, he completely convinced himself that it was a snake. When he touched the rope, he convinced himself that he has touched the snake and the snake has bitten him. He said, it's over. And with that, everything is over. He's dead. It happens. If you ask the people who, you know those people who go and catch the snake, some of them are very expert at that. Often you will get this news, you will see this news. Some, especially these days when human species have gone and invaded the forest. So they also started coming down to our land. They were living in their land. We gone and told them that, look, you move away. We want to, because our population is increasing. All the forests are getting cleared up. So the snakes have started coming down to the land. So recently there was a report, 18, 20 foot long. One of these, what they call as Raja Vimbala, they call it. A very powerful, extremely powerful and poisonous snake. He has come and he has come to a coffee estate. And there is coffee plantation. And this huge one, 18, 20 feet, it is moving around very freely through the coffee trees, coffee plantations. And in the coffee plantations, the ladies are working there. You know, they pick up the coffee thing. And they saw this huge thing walking around and they reported. What did they do? The police has got an arrangement with these snake catchers who catches these snakes. They call one of him, he comes. And he catches this 18-20 feet. They didn't kill him. Took him back to the forest and let him go back to the forest again. So he doesn't have any fear of the snake anymore because he understands the snake very well. That the snake has got poison, but he knows that how to catch the snake without getting hurt. He knows very well. He has no difficulty at all. But majority of us who are frightened about the snakes, even you just have to see the snake, the fear has got inside. You don't have to even touch that. Already you have become weakened, completely gone. All your strength is gone by seeing a huge thing like that, 18, 20 feet long and full of poison inside. And very often they say that death happens not due to the poison, but due to the shock. So similarly, here also, because we didn't know that it was the rope, all the problems started. And who was responsible for that? The mind. Mind caused the problem. Who made that knowledge to us, created that knowledge in us? The mind. Mind created the knowledge that it is a snake. Atma didn't do that, is it? Atma didn't create any problem. Mind created the problem. So because of that, mind is the cause of everything, all the problems. You get sick, where do you get sick? Because of the mind. In the mind you experience that sickness of the body, isn't it? So, everything, as they say, The cause of all the problems is the mind or the vasanas inside the mind. So, even in the Ayurveda, it is very clearly they say this, that when we get sick, any sickness, where is the sickness? Sickness is in the mind. It's in the mind that gets affected. So what they say, that if you can stop all your vasanas in the mind, you will never get sick. Suppose the body has got some problem. It can be rectified locally, he says. You don't have to have very complicated procedures. It can be fixed there itself, so long as it has not got inside your mind. If it has got into your mind, then it's very... That is why it's taking too long a time. Only mainly because this link with the mind and the body is so strong. So as much as the mind is responsible for all our experiences in this world, like happiness, who is experiencing happiness? The mind is experiencing happiness. So similarly, so because we are unable to do that, do what? That to get rid of the vasanas from inside. Just like when the illness comes, all the work centered around that illness is in the mind, is it not? You meditate on that. You go on the internet and find out what all happens with that disease. Because the disease has entered into the mind. And it is in the mind, everything is happening. Disease is not a big thing. Disease will come and it can go the way it has come, it will go also. But once it has gone inside the mind, then it's very difficult to get down. So till it goes out to the mind, it's not going to get cured. Not going to get cured. That is why very often they say here, because you are not able to take it out of the mind, the disease still remains. Every disease apparently is like that. This is the Rishi's conclusions about it. They say it was like this. Similarly, because we are not able to do that, for the same reason, we are unable to get out of this material life also. This material existence is also in the same way. So, it is no point trying to go and fight against this material life. Because once you have known this truth, that the problem is not in the world, problem is inside me. If you see the mechanism, how it's working, that because of my mind, that is where all this problem is come. And I have made that as my shelter, as jiva, andhakaranam, subtle body. That's where I am surviving through that. My whole existence is there, in that localized place called subtle body, andhakaranam. I am existing there as jiva and I am experiencing all these things. So, Vedantam is saying to us that if you remove that from the mind, then this problem of the world, problems of the world doesn't exist anymore. That's all gone with it. Correction is required inside us, not outside. Because this factor is unknown to us, we go out looking for solution. Looking for the solution. So, so the intelligent person who knows these things, what he does? You don't fight with the mind. Fighting won't help. Because mind is these three modes of nature. Mind, the only thing you can do is by surrendering. Surrendering is the solution, which is bhakti. Bhakti is the solution to the problem. Then if there is bhakti in the heart, if one has bhakti, proper bhakti inside, then the mind cannot function then. Bhakti takes control and mind cannot function anymore. Mind is a product of Maya. Is it not? Mind is a product of Maya. So if you surrender to Maya, surrender means if you don't go and fight against Maya, instead you surrender to Maya, Maya will lose. Suppose sometimes somebody fire you heavily, accuse you or criticizes you or speak to you in a very rude way. But if you still keep smiling at him, that person will lose the battle. He will not be able to do anything. Maya is like that. Whereas if you take weapon and start fighting straight away, it will turn into a war. It will turn out to be a war. So that is why Krishna is saying here that this nature of the mind. First, we have to understand the mind properly, how the mind acts and functions, the mind's nature. One understands that. Suppose you got sick, Krishna says here, it's a point. Suppose you got sick, and suppose you are able to convince yourself that you have no sickness. You have not sickness at all. It is only for the body. Then you won't suffer from the sickness. You won't suffer from the sickness. I know it's difficult, isn't it? When somebody says that. But once you have understood the way Krishna is presenting this mind, then you can see that there is logic in all these things. If you make yourself conscious that these are just thoughts that's occurring in me, because mind is nothing but thought waves. When disease is there in a person, all the misery is not where the disease is, it is in the mind where it is happening, isn't it? So, so if anyone is able to remain in that state, that not taking it into the mind and staying out of it, the disease, then the disease has to go one day from the body. So, only thing is, ordinary people may not have the strength for doing that. Because main problem is, they consider this body as real, first thing. Secondly, they consider the world as real. So, as long as somebody is thinking the world is real and the body is real, that is the reason why we don't get cured of the illnesses also. How do you think that the yogis all engage in the world? They take it this way, that they don't think, they disconnect their mind. They have no mind at all. And once they have kept out of the mind, they do not identify with the body anymore. So therefore, even if their body appears to be having illness, they are not experiencing any of the problems related to the body inside. They have come away from the body. That is how they have come out of the illness, not by the way we do things. We are helpless practically in this world. Whatever society does, we follow. Society says go to GP, we go to GP. GP makes a long list and gives it to you. We go to the pharmacist and say, have you got all this in the list? Yes. You got all the list, brought it home. Morning, midday, evening, 3 tabs, 4 tabs, you are taking it for all the different things, thinking that one day it will go. This is all we are doing. What else are we doing? Because when you look at from the Vedantam point of view, the whole thing is a joke. Because of course it shouldn't happen, because if it happens, there will be no jobs for the NHS. It will go home. So people will find it difficult. So we have to keep everybody working in this world. We need all this going on, isn't it? All this show must go on. Otherwise there will be no jobs. People will become jobless. So keep people on the job. For that we will do anything. Anything necessary we will do to keep people on the job. That's our policy now. Anyway, so we'll stop that today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.